Steve was like, you cheated on me. I'm like, wait, what?
I'm like in this hotel room bawling. I'm on tour with Big Time Rush. My friend George comes in. He's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, my wife cheated on me.
One Direction was opening for you.
That was really hard for us. They would go out, do their 45 minutes. And then after our show, fans were outside chanting for One Direction.
Every single kid that's on set has a stunt double. And they're all kids, stunt kids.
That's so
okay?
cool.
I had the biggest crush on Gareth Giggles' stunt double. He ended up being my first kiss. It caused all sorts of drama on set.
Do you guys like making movies together?
It's awesome. It's hard when he's a diva on set. But
please.
Wait. How often do you get confused for Lava Girl from Sharkboy and Lava Girl?
All the time.
We sat down with Hollywood stars Carlos and Alexa Penavega, who you probably already know from the hit TV show Big Time Rush or the Spy Kids movies. The couple famously combined their last names when they got married in 2014 and spent the last couple years living on a boat with their three kids. They've even co-starred in multiple Hallmark films together, and just this past year, they announced that they're pregnant with baby number 4. We talk about everything from boundaries they have with intimate scenes on set to the time Carlos toured with One Direction. Welcome back to Unplanned. We are so happy that you're here, and today we're joined by Carlos and Alexa. Let's just give it up.
Hello.
Thank you,
guys. What's up?
We are having the most interesting conversation off podcast.
It really is like ADD conversations, because the amount of different subjects that we have just gone through in a matter of 10 minutes.
Yep. Breastfeeding. Sex, camera equipment.
Those are the things we traveling. Talked the most about, honestly.
Okay, hold up. I was overhearing, though. Did you guys have to be abstinent for 4 months in marriage?
Well, like, no. What?
They're starting it right now.
Oh, man. Is this where we're starting?
Yep.
Well, basically, what happened was my wife's having... We're about to have our fourth child, number 4.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You guys are professionals at
yeah,
this
yeah,
point.
Yeah. I'm really good at
this
it.
This child's going to shoot out, actually.
I don't even have to push.
Well, we had
a little scare the other night. She basically had to go to the hospital. We thought the baby was coming early. There was a little bit of blood. It was like, oh, no, what's going on? Baby's okay. Mommy's okay.
Right. But I was having contractions and whatnot. Yeah.
But so she's only 32 weeks.
I'm trying not to go into labor right now. Is basically what's happening.
So I can't believe you're
really
here.
Chill.
No, it's
okay.
Good.
But one of the big things, so Carlos had been out of town for the last 2 weeks dealing with a couple things. And he came back to all of this.
Yep.
And obviously we had already abstained for 2 weeks. Yep. And the doctor said that we need to abstain until I give birth. But then after you give birth,
yeah,
you can't have sex for yeah. 6 weeks.
So here's the dilemma.
I'm just adding it up.
Hold on.
I'm so sorry.
But here's the dilemma I'm
Not
having.
I'm having.
So we want the baby to come later because it's healthier for the baby. You
right.
know, obviously yeah. it's 32 weeks. Let's hope to get to 34, 35, right? 35.
Right. 37 is my goal, please.
Yes. But the longer that the baby takes, it's prolonging. Me too,
Your,
you know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to balance, like, what's right? No, I'm kidding.
You're like, it's okay. The baby can come now.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. Maybe exactly. If the baby comes today, then that 6 weeks starts today versus if yeah. 6 weeks from now.
You know what I'm Carlos.
Is that
wow.
wrong? That's pretty wrong. I'm kidding.
Dude,
I'm kidding.
What's funny, though, is like the first couple weeks, at least from my experience, I was so freaking tired from being up in the night with the baby.
Yeah.
I didn't even have any thoughts about that.
I feel like wasn't having any thoughts about that.
But I think like week 3, week 4, I'm like, okay, like I'm like, I know we can't like do it, but like we can always like
we can mess around
yeah, a little bit, yeah, you know. Yeah. And Abby's over here still like, you know,
like recovering.
You know what? I will give my wife the champion card here, cuz she, especially with our first child, cuz it was really exciting up until the baby was there, and I think I was a little bit in shock.
He was.
Because, you know, the baby's crying all night. You know, I have to change diapers. You change the diaper, the baby's crying. I'm like, I'm trying to help you. Why are you crying right now?
Yeah.
But I really didn't have to wake up in the middle of the night to feed. Like, she was like champion mama. She just has it in her blood. So I was actually rested the entire first 3 months, and I was ready to rock. She wasn't.
But I remember you were like, terrified because you watched the birth.
Okay, the
bro,
right, that
nobody
first time,
talks about
nobody
this.
Talks about it. I literally closed my eyes and I was like, all right, here we go. And it's just weird, right?
It was like a war zone, bro.
I didn't see it.
Was it not a war zone?
Oh, hold on. We're talking about two different things.
Oh my gosh, so, Carlos is talking about the first time enjoying each other after having a baby. Yeah, you're talking about the birth.
Okay.
So hold on.
Oh my god.
Bro, this is the ADD right here. This is it right here.
Okay, we're talking about doing it after. Like postpartum.
Postpartum. Yeah. Got it. Yes.
Not a war zone. I still war zone.
Okay, hold on. So baby comes out. It's crazy to watch, but it's beautiful. I said that I was not gonna watch it, but I filmed it. All three of them. All two and a half. And I've actually shown people. I'm so proud of it. I'm like,
look. He's like so excited. I showed up to set one day, and they're like, we watched the baby being born. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Yeah. He had shown the whole set.
No, not the whole set. Just a few of the cast members. Because it's really beautiful. And I've cried every time. And I'm just like, look at that.
Gosh.
But then after seeing that and then having intercourse for the first time, I think that was really hard for me. No?
Matt didn't experience that. Did you?
What do you like hard for me in what way? Well,
to just look at me and be like, oh.
Because you see everything happening, right? It's like, the baby comes out, you see all this stuff happening, and then obviously like there's 6 weeks, she's recovering, and then the first time that you guys go to have that intimate moment, you're like,
well, it was even scary for me too, because I'm like, is this gonna like be painful? Like, I don't know, because I've just given birth.
It's hard for the women though, because I think your body with the hormone changes and everything, like
so much,
it's different down there. At least like, yeah, I don't know,
there are a lot of changes.
I don't want to get too graphic, but it's like drier, right? Yeah. Like there's like you need
to the unplanned like we're not saying podcast right now. Guys,
this is brought to you by
well, I think he's saying that because like with a C-section, I was like, we're not gonna experience any of that.
Oh, C-section.
Exactly.
It still hurt really bad after.
Yes. No.
Okay.
Of course it
did. Okay. Okay. Hold on. So C-section. We did regular. I mean, is it like vaginal birth?
Yeah.
Cool. I don't know what we can say in here.
We can say vagina. Cool. So
she did a normal vaginal birth. All three. And watching that, because like I've only ever known that part of her body as like an intimate part of her body. So then seeing it deliver a baby and get the size of the head and it's coming out, you know, you're just like, okay. And then later on when you try to get intimate again, you can't get those pictures out of your head.
Did you have that?
You never said that. I guess I thought of those as like two different people almost. I don't know.
To be honest,
I just felt horrible for you. I'm like, like, what if I had to poop out a baby or something? Like, that would be so freaking painful. I just felt so much sympathy for you while you were doing that. So,
as a kid, I thought that I could give birth. Like, I, for some reason, just thought that anyone could give birth. It was your decision in your marriage. Like, is it going to be you, honey, or is it going to be me?
Because he was a kid. He didn't know.
So, I was always terrified that I would marry someone and have to be the one to give birth.
That was hilarious. Like,
and just terrified at how much that would hurt.
Did you ever get the sex talk as a kid?
I guess late in the game.
There were four boys in my family, and we all got it at the same time. So I think I was a little older, and then the youngest was
probably like only like three or four.
Yeah, but my dad was like, "We're gonna do this one time." This is a condom.
Hispanic families.
This is a baby.
Different.
This is a wife. And we're like,
We're gonna do this one time.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! I could never.
Yeah.
I could never, because Ocean is in such a different place than Kingston.
Yeah. I mean, I think he was like, This is the time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
All right.
While you guys are like having babies and going through all this and becoming parents, popping them out, You're filming movies, right? You're doing Hallmark movies. You're working.
We don't stop. Which is a good thing, but also, I think it's catching up with us a little bit.
Okay.
You think?
Yeah. We recently moved to Nashville.
Oh wow.
2 weeks ago.
you're like
officially.
Officially,
we're here. We close on a house. We are living in there. We're sleeping on mattresses on the floor right now because we have no furniture. What's been really nice is, you know, it's allowed us. Just these last 2 weeks, like, life here is so much slower. And I'm go. And when I'm talking to someone, I catch myself wanting to like, but they're like, so how's your day today? And I'm like, I'm really great. It was awesome. I woke up and it was great. I had coffee. How about you? They're like, it was good. You know,
they take their time.
I was thinking this morning, and I'm like, my toe is tapping, and I'm like, freak.
So, yeah, so people are so nice here. The Southern hospitality.
They're really, really great here. Like, really great. Carlos even went to the store the other day, and he goes, people were telling me, yes, sir. And he's like, not that I'm like some old guy, but, you know, they were saying, oh, yes, sir, just out of being polite. Yeah. And it's just so nice seeing that respect for one another. And that's, I feel like, very rare nowadays, especially in the industry that we're in and being with, like, you go to California or New York or, like, you know, anywhere on the coast, that respect kind of goes away. Mm-hmm. But the more inland you get, the more respectful people are, and it really goes a long way. And you don't even realize how much it does to your heart until you get to really experience that. So being here for us has been a huge blessing. And it was such a God thing, because we never in a million years, like if you told us like last year at some point that we'd be living in Tennessee next year, we'd be like, no, that's
right, cool, cool.
No, not at all. And we're here. So it was a God thing. It was cool.
Well, because you guys were living in Hawaii and living on a boat. You were living with three children on a boat.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. We're crazy.
So we live in Hawaii. We have a gorgeous, awesome house there that we love. The community out there is great. But we happen to live in the town that burned down in Lahaina. So there was a lot that happened there. And right now they're like cleaning up all the junk and the toxicity levels in the air. They're not really talking about it a whole lot, but it's pretty wild. So we decided it just felt unsafe to be breathing that in with like the kids and then giving birth over there just in our particular area. So we thought like, okay, well then we're just going to be on the boat full time.
Well, and the boat story is right after COVID, Maui was pretty locked down over there. Mm-hmm. Was no fun. Like literally couldn't even go to the beach. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So I got obsessed with watching sailing YouTube channels. Like obsessed. And I've always wanted to sail, and like we've sailed before. So I told her, I said, hey, what if we sold this one property that we had? It was like a vacation rental, and we bought a boat. And she was like, oh, so you want to sell an appreciating asset for an appreciating asset? I was like, yeah. How does that sound to you? And she actually said, sure, why not? And
we've always wanted to sail. Sailing is so. Have you guys ever gone sailing?
Never.
Oh
my gosh, you guys. Oh,
I mean, if you don't count like a catamaran snorkel trip on a cruise. So we've done that, like on a catamaran for an hour.
And we loved it.
Okay, but just imagine that but
for like weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And sleeping on the boat.
It's so special.
So we decided just to, you know, sell that property and buy a boat. And it all happened pretty fast, which was amazing. And we bought this boat. She's a Privilege 615. She's 61 feet by 31 feet. She's pretty big.
Wow.
She's a 2007. And we spent the last 2 years and change refitting her. So we changed everything. I mean, we did all the standing rigging, so all the crazy cabling that keeps the mast up and all the sails. We changed all that. We took the mast and the boom down. We painted it. We redid all the interior, and we basically did everything ourselves between me, her, and her dad, because we're Latinos and we want to save money. So
we're cheap.
I love that.
Yeah, we're cheap. No. We're just frugal. It sounds better. But we did it, and what's crazy is that like every time that we were going to like finish and get on the water, something else would happen, right? Yeah. So this would break. Okay, cool. Now it set us back a month. This would break, you know, a couple weeks. The biggest one recently was
in November.
Like our goal was, hey, listen, we have work until December 1st. And then on the 15th of December, the weather should be good. And we're going to get on the boat and we're going to go to the Bahamas and finally enjoy this boat, right? And it was right before Thanksgiving, and my father-in-law calls me. We're in LA, and he's like, I think the engine is broken. I'm like, no. I was like, no. He's like, yeah, there's water everywhere, this and that. Well, we lost. So everything was changed, even the other engine, but the one engine that was 17 years old, it crapped out on us.
No.
And that was like the biggest blow to me, because it wasn't an easy like, well, let's just go to the engine store and buy an engine and put it in and keep going.
There's not an engine store that you can go to.
No.
I know.
That's what I thought.
How does that work?
Oh man. Well, long story short, you basically have to call the dealer. They have to come in, and the EPA gets involved and all this stuff. And it was a whole big thing. Then we had to cut the boat open to pull the old engine out, put the new engine in, and have somebody come and reseal it. And it was a pain in the booty.
It took months.
And it cost us almost $40,000.
Oh.
It was like the biggest, just like, you ain't going sailing. You know, it's not going to happen. And in the midst of all this, about a month and a half ago, or 2 months ago, we start praying and we're like, God, like where do you want us? Like, what are we supposed to do? This is crazy. And I felt this random calling to just drive to Tennessee, but I'm like, I don't think that's right. And the next day she's like, I was praying and I feel, and it's weird, but I feel like God is calling us to go and just drive to Tennessee. And I was like, yo, what? I felt that, like, that's,
this by the way, weird. Guys, like, we've never talked about Tennessee ever. Like, this was not, like, something that we had really discussed or even thought about. I think it was one time 11 years ago when we were first dating, Carlos was like, where do you want to live? And I'm like, my dream home would be in, like, Tennessee. With
some horses. Wait, why Tennessee, though?
I don't know.
I don't, to be honest with you, I don't even know. Okay. Other than, like, I just pictured these beautiful, like, rolling green hills with the beautiful fences. Exactly where we're at right now, I just kind of pictured as, yeah, like, that place is perfect. And I grew up on a ranch in Florida, but I didn't necessarily want that kind of ranch life in Florida again. I wanted this vision that I had in my head. But I had since, like, I don't think about that anymore. Like, it wasn't a thought in my mind. That was, like, an 11 years ago, a fun little fireplace game we were playing, and
this got brought up, and I said, well, what, it's like 8 o'clock at night, and I'm like, well, what do we do? Like, obviously we both are feeling this calling from God to do something. And she's like, we need to go. He called me to go. And I was like, right now? Yeah. So we got in the car that night, we got all the kids in the car, and we drove 12 hours from West Palm Beach to Tennessee.
At 8 o'clock at night?
Yep.
Yeah. Wait, did you have, like, an RV, or, like, what are you driving in?
We had an Escalade, so it was comfortable.
Okay,
was
really okay. Cozy.
Yeah, there we go. It was cozy.
The kids just slept in the car?
Yep, like, yeah, this the whole time.
Champions. Guys, they were champions. So we did stop 6 hours
In Tifton, Georgia. In Tifton. Shout out to the Spring Hill Suites.
Did you get peaches while you were in Georgia?
No,
we went to Cracker Barrel for the first time. We had classic idea road trip. It was so good. And we loved it.
It was so good. Although the second time we went, I got a little bit of a stomachache.
I love that they have real maple syrup at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, I mean,
when you
I,
go and they? You put it, yeah, it's just.
I don't know. I just had I had everything. Biscuits.
Yeah, we opened the menu. We're like, oh, this is very interesting. It's like everything you could imagine.
Well, we're really clean eaters. So it was a really big deal that we were going into a Cracker Barrel, and then to order what we ordered, it was.
And then to go again on the way back, we were looking forward to driving back just to go to Cracker Barrel. But we got to Tennessee, and God just kept opening doors. Like, our friend's parents happened to be camping that week, so we stayed in their house. We show up, and it was like this gorgeous farmhouse on 100-something acres, and we're like,
oh my gosh. Yeah, guys, yeah. We got the experience.
Like, it was
right
like
away.
The welcome to tent. This could be your life. Like, check it out. And then we stayed there. And then, a funny story, my ex girlfriend from college, like 15 years ago, happens to live here, and she's a realtor. So
she sold what? You a house?
Yeah. Wait, no, hold
on. But you guys don't understand. She's like one of my closest friends. Yeah. No. I love her.
They've been friends for a minute now.
Yeah, we've been friends for years.
So we called her.
But for other people, they're like, I'm sorry, wait, yeah. What?
And her husband is like, me and him get along like this. Like, he's so cool. I know. I had to, the first night that we were all hanging out, like, officially, I was like, I just want to, one time I'm going to say this. This is not weird for anybody, and it's totally cool. And they were like, he's like, yeah, okay, it was great. I'm like, okay, that's it. Moving
but
on.
But I do want to say, like, it wasn't about. Like they dated a couple months. How long were you guys together for?
2 years.
I mean, that's
and
a significant
in college.
You know what's crazy is that, unplanned. We're just going
you're
from
so
one
chill.
To the
other. I love her. You will love her. She's the best.
I've never heard someone say that.
To move out here. Let me know.
Well, give Matt our number.
Can your ex sell us a house too?
100. Hey,
actually,
since then, we've literally sent her so many people.
Yes.
Fun fact, my wife, my ex-girlfriend, and then my ex before my ex, this one, they all live within 20 minutes of me. You know, so
now they're all in Tennessee.
We're all in Tennessee. I'm just like, oh my God.
One big happy family. So,
well, our best friend was like, I would love to be at that dinner.
Well, what's funny about you guys, I was looking at your story, and you said at one point that you didn't want to marry anybody from the entertainment industry, right?
Oh, heck no. He was literally everything on my no list, and that's why God is so funny. Because
she wanted a tall... She well, the a guy, tall cowboy.
Oh, no, the guy I was dating.
Don't we all? Thank you to Liquid IV for sponsoring today's episode.
I'm sick today, so it's important that I stay hydrated. So I'm glad that we're doing a taste test today of our Liquid IVs.
A blind taste test.
A blind taste test, because I could really drink some.
Really clear cups.
Oh, okay.
Should we try them?
Let's go ahead and try our Liquid IVs.
Okay, here's glass number one.
You should take the first drink, because I might get you sick. If you
I guarantee if this is one of the sugar-free ones, I have this in the bag.
Do we know what the flavors are? Do we have
immediately
to just
guess? Know what that is? I think we should just guess what the flavors are because I know what this.
Can I say it?
1, 2, 3. Peach.
Blue raspberry.
It was right.
Abby's right, but technically it's white peach.
Oh, I didn't just specify what color peach.
I thought it had a blue tint to it.
Matt,
but
you're cheating, actually. This
but
must
I
be
love,
blind.
I love blue raspberry, so it makes sense why I like it so much. Okay, now we're trying this one.
That one's also sugar-free. I know what that is, 1,000%. One.
Wait, give me a second. Oh, this is like lemon.
Two, three. Lemon-lime.
Lemon-lime. I haven't had that one yet. That's delicious. Dude, Liquid IV makes some really good flavors. I'm excited to try that one.
That's not sugar-free flavor.
Holy cow. All of these are so good. Maybe I'll need to like rethink my
see,
white
that
peach.
One, I'm thinking that one's like passion fruit.
Freak, I don't know what
my
that is.
My favorite we didn't even have, which was green grape.
I'm going to say passion fruit. I have no idea.
Pear.
Pear.
Oh, yeah. That is pear. One stick and 16 ounces of water. Hydrates better than water alone. Does that make sense, you guys? You're gonna be hydrated if you drink these. And there's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, no artificial sweeteners, and zero sugar if you have the zero sugar packet. The pear is also great, does have a little sugar, but who cares? Honestly, the other things you could be drinking. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code UNPLANNED at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code UNPLANNED at liquidiv.com.
Back to the episode.
The guy I was getting right before Carlos was a 6'9" Australian footy player. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
So he couldn't be more opposite of Carlos.
That guy.
Literally, like, I don't have a type.
No, well, I do. And so my best friend Brene.
And then like, wasn't it a swimmer before that too?
So
oh my gosh.
My best friend Brene, we were all kind of going to the same church, but Carlos hadn't really gone there yet. It's like this little gospel church in Inglewood, in California. I don't know if you guys know about Inglewood, but it's kind
the
of
big
like
hats.
It's awesome. Like big hey, hat church. Gospel.
Jesus.
I love that.
Oh, that's so fun.
It was amazing.
It's awesome.
I went for the first time and saw the choir and I was like, I need to be in that choir.
He was obsessed. But like,
did you join the choir?
Oh yes, you bet your butt I did.
He did. But Brene at the time was like, this poor kid has no chance, talking about Carlos, because on my no list, I'm from a crazy Colombian family. So I was like, I am never dating a Hispanic person because I already have my crazy family. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need to add more to that. So
needs to be
no
taller
Latinos,
than 4 feet.
No Latinos, no short guys, no singers for sure, and definitely not an actor because they're so vain.
Hello, and enter Carlos.
All of those. He is a perfectly sized Latino who sings and acts and dances. That's a plus, babe.
That's hilarious because Abby's list for guys she didn't want to date, she was just like, I never want to date a theater kid. I don't want to marry a guy who's been in theater. We met doing theater.
No way.
Stop. Wait, do you do theater?
Yeah. Like we went to school for it and then we like switched our majors and stuff.
Where'd you go to school?
So we went to Missouri State into the acting program. Where, I don't know if you've heard of Into the Woods, but the person that originated the wolf in Into the Woods, Robert Westenberg, was like the head of faculty at Missouri State.
Okay, so first of all,
you guys just opened a can of worms.
I was born in Missouri.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
We should have known this.
Wait.
In Columbia, Missouri.
Bro, my brother went to school at Mizzou.
Okay, my mom went to school at Stevens College.
No way.
Yeah. I lived there for 10 years.
What?
Broadway was my first school in life. I went to the Boston Conservatory.
No way!
For a year, and then I sent in a tape, and I got Big Time Rush, and I left.
That's insane.
Fun story there too. I can tell you about. But yeah, I'm a theater. She was actually on Broadway too, but she claims that she's not a thinger. But she did Hairspray. She was Penny.
I did do Hairspray. That was really
so
fun.
Awesome. Wait, that's really neat.
Yeah. I feel like you'd make a good Penny as well.
I can't sing though.
Abby's such a talented actress. She is so good. Like,
but not singing.
Matt, answer it right now. You can be honest.
We'll both admit like
I have like a 2-note range.
I'm not the best actor, and she'll admit she's not the best singer, but like she
but
can
together.
Dance and she can, yeah.
Together.
Hey.
Amazing.
So funny. Where were we even going with this?
I don't even know.
No, hold on,
I
hold
love
on,
that you guys did theater.
Like that's like, I mean.
Theater is Carlos.
I mean, I did Grease Live.
Dude, I saw that.
Which was so my
that's
kids
so sick.
My kids are obsessed with the Grease Lightning version of that. They're always like, Daddy, can you play the Car song, and I'm like, yeah, I'll play you the Car song. And then I played it in the original, and they were like, I like yours better. I'm like, oh, dang.
Let's go.
Sorry, John Travolta.
What was that like being in Grease live?
Dude, it was really cool. I mean, for me, I always wanted to go to Broadway. So I kind of like, I don't know. Most people tell me, they're like, dude, that was way cooler than Broadway. Like, you know, that was 32 million people are watching this live thing, and you know, it was one time only. It's like super special. And I loved every minute of it. It was super cool. I think I still have that inkling to go still do a show in New York. But yeah, I mean, it was it almost 10 years ago?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, it was actually right before Ocean, so we're like 8 years ago.
8 years ago. The rush of like, you could mess up and this is live.
It's live TV.
It's always that it's like a live show where you can play it off. Like, no, this is TV. People are watching it on the TV. That was really cool. And like being in golf carts, like getting driven like during commercial breaks to another set.
That's so unique.
And stuff like that. Wild. Like that was really cool.
Even like Carlos was wearing three outfits for the Grease Lightning.
For the song. So fun fact, that had never actually gone off correctly until the actual performance. So,
because they're ripping away these.
So suits. Yeah, so I'm wearing my normal jumpsuit, the fancy blue jumpsuit, and then a normal one over it, and it all had ripaway buttons. And getting into that, like I did a scene with Vanessa in the car, and then I had like 45 seconds to get into the other two outfits, and it was like I would always just make it. So I made it. We're doing the scene, and we all the camera goes on us. It pulls away, goes on to some dancers for like 15 seconds, and then when it comes back, the car has changed, and we're all in these fancy outfits. So we have 15 seconds to basically go, and every time, one or two of us would always have like a pant leg sticking out.
Or take everything off.
Or right. All of it. Or that. And by the grace of God, that night, it went off without a hitch. Like, that was the only time that it ever actually worked. Somebody always had half an arm on or just something. And it was just, cool. Yeah, it was cool.
Do you have more fun doing theater and like live performance, or do you like doing more film and stuff in that
it's different. We've really this last year we started our own production company.
Oh wow.
And we've really enjoyed being behind the scenes, and in July we're going to be producing our first movie
with our production company, which is awesome.
And we're starring in it, and she's singing in it.
No way.
Yay! Yeah,
congrats you guys.
Thank you.
What's the company called?
It's called Good For You Entertainment.
That's so cool.
I know. Yeah. I thought it was a perfect little name.
I like it too, because I'm always like, good for you.
Yeah.
And so it's like kind of like not a play on words.
But
it's a couple different things. It's like really good for you, quality entertainment, but also good for you.
Let's land this plane about the move here.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So we come here and we start looking at houses, and it goes a little crazy, and we're just like, what's happening with life? And she's like, maybe we have to sell the boat. And I was like, oh, dude, that's a crazy thought.
No, I didn't say that.
Hear me out. That night we're talking in bed, and the houses that she wanted to buy, I was like, we're going to need to sell the boat. Like, we can't do any, like, this is just crazy. And she was like, well, let's just pray about it. And the next day somebody calls me and goes, hey, would you ever consider selling your boat? And I was
out
like,
out of nowhere.
And I was like, God,
no one has a clue
like,
we're in Tennessee.
I was like, I know that maybe you're just setting things up, but can I get more confirmation? The dude ends up being someone who lives in Nashville who wants to go sail the world with his four kids.
That's so sick. Was he watching your YouTube channel? Like, how did he know about the boat?
Through a friend.
Okay.
Through a friend. He ended up not buying the boat. That kind of fell through.
Okay.
But
you never would have decided to sell the boat otherwise.
Yeah, like we basically, like, it was like one thing after the other just kept opening and opening.
Yeah.
And after that week here, we made it back to West Palm Beach, and we're sitting on the boat, and you know, I've got an offer on the boat. I got this happening, and a house that we love. They accepted our offer, and I'm like, dude, we just in 1 week we just completely changed our lives. And things didn't like work out exactly like that, you know, with the guy kind of bailed, and now the boat is officially going to be on the market next week, and whatever, it's fine. But all those things led up to us actually making the decision to move, and our life, like we never got to leave the dock. We basically redid the boat for some other family, which I think is really cool. Now we're here in Tennessee. Sorry, my ADD brain was like, I have to land that boat.
No,
that,
you're good.
That plane.
For sure.
Bro, I totally get it.
We're on a whole big thing, and I hope you all there appreciate that.
Wait, but, what boat were you on then for the past?
Ours. No, this was a month ago.
So we've been living on a boat while refitting the boat.
Living on a boat on the dock.
So you have two boats?
No, no, just one.
Okay, I missed that part.
The boat is in the water at the marina, but we're refitting everything on the inside. So, like, for the first year, we had, like, no walls, things were ripped out. Like, when I tell you that the boat life was kind of miserable at times, it was miserable. Because I had a newborn on the boat plus two other kids, and we're like trying to, it's like living in construction with your family. Mm-hmm. And it was so miserable at times. But then other times it was amazing, because like we're like fishing off the dock and we're creating the coolest memories. It was across from Peanut Island, so we would just go to the island. Aww. On the dinghy. So it was really cool. And if you ask our two-year-old, where do you live? The only thing she knows is the boat. So she's like, boat.
Boat.
I live boat.
Here she is.
Oh, the boat.
The boat.
And I named it after my first wife.
Shut up,
Carlos.
Alexa. This is stupid. Wait, I'm like, is this an ex-girlfriend? Or like,
I was like, I did not see this in my research.
I'm like, wait, what? You've been previously married? After my first wife.
He tells everybody names it after his first wife, and I'm like, your only wife.
You know, my dad's wife. The same way. My dad will joke with people, will be like on vacation. He's such a dad, and he'll say something like,
dad,
yeah,
jokes.
Let me ask my girlfriend over here, which is my mom, just like messing with people.
Oh, I'm like,
dad, you're not funny, stop.
Dude, that, I'm going to start doing that. Oh my gosh.
My girlfriend.
Hold on one second. Let me ask my pregnant girlfriend something real quick. Hey,
my baby mama.
My baby's mom.
Okay.
Here she is. Like, there you go. So, like,
beautiful.
Wow, that is a nice boat,
we
guys.
We like all the white.
Dude.
The white used to be ultra suede mustard. It was disgusting.
With but, mold. It was super moldy.
Moldy. I left one little piece in a closet just so that if anyone asks, like, what it was, I'm like, come on down. And you look up in the closet, and it's about yay big.
Anyways. The original mustard.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, yeah. You guys.
But we redid everything, and, you know, she looks great. She feels great. And
yeah.
A brand new engine, that was a huge setback. But, hey, some other family's going to, you know, have a great time with her.
So last night at about 10 o'clock, you got a phone call.
Yeah.
Because something
thank you for reminding me, Matt. I appreciate it.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. So the boat was set to be listed on the market on Monday.
Okay.
So everything was prepped. I just had her completely, you know, waxed and everything. And she looked great. And last night I got a call that this monstrosity of a boat came and hit me three times.
Three times hard. And then at the very last one, we have it on video. The boat is like driving away, but just scratching our boat the whole way, just going.
It's a huge stainless steel boat.
If I show you the picture of this boat, you're gonna
you just keep talking. Hold on.
What? Are you gonna I'll show you the photo.
I love that you have all this documented on your iPad. You're like, hey, I got a picture.
Well, hold on, like, hold on. I'm a very visual person, so yeah. I was like, I'm bringing my iPad, and there we go. Here's the boat.
Oh my gosh!
That thing.
That is a hunk of metal.
Wait, that's the boat that hit your boat?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whose boat is that? Like that.
It's like his company. I don't know, but I hope they have good insurance.
Because, okay, so what we were talking about earlier was how expensive it is to paint a boat. You would think that painting a boat would be like, you know, like a $15,000 thing. You know it's expensive. No, it's $120,000 to paint a boat.
Well, this one.
Well, okay. Because this boat is big.
What?
But also, you have to think, like, they have to pull it out of the water. They have to pull every little piece off. And then they have to, like, contain the boat. And
that's a really good point. Because like, I was like, why can't you just
I'll be honest. I was thinking it'd be like
the water.
I was like, it'll be like $5,000 to paint a boat.
Yeah, I wish.
No, it's a house.
I'm sure that you know, you could get it done cheaper, like in the Caribbean or somewhere. But it's gonna be crazy. Yeah. Hold on, I'm a visual guy, so I just want you guys to see
the damage.
No, the moment it happened.
Oh.
Oh
yes.
My gosh, you have to.
Wait, we'll have to put the video up for people to watch the video.
Oh my gosh, why not? Why not?
That's hilarious. Is there a camera on your boat recording? Like,
oh yeah,
yeah. Carlos he loves tech.
Look at this sucker.
Cameras.
They came
everywhere.
In there. Boom! Right here, and look, and they just dug into the side.
No.
And then here's the worst part. They back up, and they come and do it again. Hold on. They back up again. But look, it's just like. I'm watching this.
What
and I'm
do
like,
they think they're doing?
I don't know. And it was technically a hit and run.
Yeah, they didn't report
so
it.
So they took off, and then the cops, I guess, showed up or something and called them. And the guy was like, I didn't hit their boat.
I was so like, bro, bad. I got video.
You got the video of you got the boom, yeah. Like, right
think,
there.
I don't think a lot of boats have cameras the way we have cameras. Like, maybe one camera showing if somebody goes in and out of the boat. Yeah. But not like every angle. Carlos is
I love having eyes on everything.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
We got security. Okay, they got security.
Yeah. Oh, also, I'm trying Braxton to freaking expose us.
It's not labor though. It's not labor. It's just a Braxton Hicks, but they're
wait,
so
wait. Oh gosh. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Oh crap. What time is it? It is
it's not a 11:16
Wednesday, March 13th.
I can tell.
Cuz you're legit 32 weeks pregnant right now, right?
Yeah, 32 now that I'm just like, please don't give birth now. I just need to.
No, you'll be
when
fine.
You're, okay, when you're doing like a Hallmark movie, do you conceal your pregnancy for the film so that it doesn't change yes. the story?
Yes.
How twice. Does that happen?
I've had to do it twice. It's such a pain in the booty because you're always in like big coats or giant purses or holding like random things in front of you. Luckily, for the most part, even though I get like swollen, for the most part, it's really just belly.
Okay.
On me, so I'm able to look for the most part the same when I'm pregnant and filming, but they just cut around it as much as they can. Every now and then you might like notice it and be like, oh, I caught a peek of like her belly there, but really they do a good job of hiding it. Yeah.
Obviously, pregnancy affects everybody differently, and yes. some people it changes a little bit of how their face looks.
Yeah.
Like, how do they have to do like certain makeup things to try to make you look consistent over
AI
time?
AI is amazing. AI shush. Is such an incredible
oh,
tool.
I'm just kidding. Well, here's what's amazing. Whenever we're doing, whether it's like a Hallmark movie or like these TV movies, they're quick shoots. It's not like Spy Kids was a 6-month shoot. A TV movie, you have 3 weeks, 4 weeks to shoot a movie, and that's it. You are in and out. So for us, like, not a whole lot happens in that 3 to 4 weeks that you're able to really contain it. If I were to shoot a movie over 6 months being pregnant, there will be such a significant change that would be really hard to conceal. Mm. But within a month, it's usually pretty doable.
Yeah. That is a very quick turnaround. I didn't realize they filmed those that fast.
Oh yeah. It's like, sorry, yeah. you go
no,
ahead.
No, go.
Yeah, no, the filming schedules are pretty intense. We have it down now, especially if you have like a crew that you're used to working with or a director. You get these routines where you just show up and you work. You're shooting like 10 to 12 pages a day. On a normal set, you shoot two pages a day. That's it, tops, because they're getting so many different angles. Usually more stuff is involved. And
these aren't the movies that we want to do for the rest of our lives, but they definitely pay the bills and they're really fun. Like,
they're so fun. We get to work together and bring the kids.
And like, as an actor, as you know, y'all know, like, you show up and if you're just the actor, you don't really have much say or control. Like, you know, they want you to know your lines, show up, do your lines, take direction, and then go home. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
And on these movies, especially the one that we get to produce now, but even before, we had so much freedom to like talk with people and say, hey, how about instead of this, you know, we can go this and this. And I was kind of thinking this, and they're so open to it that like they've been the best experiences as an actor. Because yeah. like I've done other projects where you show up and you're just a paid hand. It's like, okay, cool. Thank you very much. Bye. But these guys, like, these movies have been so fun because you go in and if like you don't like a line, they're like, okay, cool. Well, how would you say it? I was thinking this. And then they're like, well, how about you do this, isn't this? You're like, oh, that's good. Okay, cool. Go try that.
I can't tell you how many times we've showed up to set where we're like, we're just not going to say any of this. We're going to say this instead. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
We're like, great.
Yeah, because like sometimes they're not written the best. The gist is there, but it's like, this is kind of quiet. Who's gonna walk in the door and be like, hey, howdy y'all, I'm gonna like no, like I'm not gonna do that. My character would come in and I feel like he would say this, and they're like, okay, cool, well, can we do this and this? And yeah, great. So it's really a really collaborative process that you don't normally get.
That's really neat. Yeah. And so that's common amongst the Hallmark movies. They let the actors have a say in what their character says.
I don't know if they
says.
Let anyone.
Oh, okay.
We do it though.
We do. And then this next batch that we're doing is with GAM, Great American Media, or GAC, basically Hallmark's competitor.
Ooh.
Yeah.
How does Hallmark feel about that?
I don't know.
We don't know.
They
yet.
Stopped calling us. And,
no, we don't know yet. No, okay, so,
listen, I love Hallmark. No bad blood.
To backtrack, so do you guys know PureFlix?
Yes.
It's a faith-based movie company. So they do a bunch of movies. I've worked with them over the years, and I really, really love them. They've actually teamed up with GAC. So now it's... Yeah, they merged into one company. So we had a deal with PureFlix at the same time while we had a deal with Hallmark, and that was a totally fine thing. But when... you know, PureFlix merged with this other company that happens to be a competitor for Hallmark. Yeah. Things kind of changed in there. But then we were now suddenly a part of all three of these families. And we were kind of like the kids where everybody had to just get along because,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because they had kids.
Yeah. This portion of today's episode is sponsored by Factor. If you haven't tried the sun-dried tomato chicken meal from Factor, you are missing out.
They have so many good ones. There's like a garlic chicken thighs one that I love.
And the wellness shots too are really good. They have wellness shots with like lemon and ginger. And then there's one with lemon and like cayenne pepper. And it freaking just sends your taste buds for a whole party. It's awesome.
What's really unique about Factor is that their meals come fresh and they are never frozen. You know that you're getting good quality, clean, fresh food.
Exactly.
But it's so easy because they're just ready to eat. You just take the outer paper off. Yeah. How cool is the little thing? Put it in the microwave and then you have your meal in like 3 minutes.
It's only 2 minutes. So it's just every meal is two minutes.
I was adding in the time to take off the paper. Oh,
yeah. I guess you're right, because if you do put it in the microwave for 2 minutes.
And then you're probably going to let it cool off a little.
So 3 minutes is probably more accurate.
But that's pretty quick still.
When you were gone on a business trip and I was by myself.
That makes me sound so official.
No, yeah. It was pretty cool you were on a business trip. But I was like... I just kept eating Factor meals because I was trying to just be a dad and I didn't have time to make all these meals by myself.
Yeah, so. How could you be expected to make 3 meals a day? You just need something that's already ready, especially for lunch. That's why I love these Factor meals, is because they're just a really quick, no prepping, no cooking, no cleanup either, because it all is disposable.
Yes.
You really can't beat that with Factor. So they make amazing lunch options or even dinner if you're in a pinch too. So.
And they did the math for you guys. It's actually cheaper for a Factor meal, like eating that, as opposed to eating out.
It's even more cheaper
if
you use our code. So head to factormeals.com/unplanned50 and use code unplanned50 to get 50% off.
Heck yeah.
That's code unplanned50 at factormeals.com/unplanned50 to get 50% off.
Back to the episode. Do you guys like making movies together? Like, is it fun if you're co-stars?
It's awesome. It's hard when he's a diva on set.
No way.
I'm joking. I'm totally joking. No, it's great because we know our limits. Like, if I'm working with another guy, I don't know how much I can play around with him. I don't know how much, like, okay, like, if I ad-lib, is he going to be able to go back and forth with me, or is he going to be kind of stuck? And I can't tell you how many times... God bless the other actors that I've worked with, but like I throw a little something at them and they're like,
oh, deer in headlights, because they practice
not the line.
That you say this, I say this, you say this, I say this. Now, when you get to bigger movies, there are way better actors that don't really do that, but a lot of the time you get people who are like, they memorize their lines based on so I'm going to hear this line and then I say this, and then I hear this and I say this, and it's like, well, then you're really not listening. You're not listening in the scene. You're just acting. Repeating. You're going, okay, that's my trigger, and I'm going to say this. And the whole thing is listen. So we play around on set. If I think that she's being too rigid, I'll literally, like, in the middle of a take, I'll just start like, poking her.
And I'm like,
and she's like, stop. And I'm like,
do not put me in a labor.
Sorry.
Oh gosh.
I'm like, you know, you can do it better. And it's like, we have that flexibility. Whereas I think if I was with another girl doing a scene, I couldn't be like, I think you can do that better.
Like, you can never say but then that. The romance is real.
Yeah. Yes. But a lot of people say that they don't like watching couples on screen because there's no chemistry, because they know each other so well that there's not like this like flirty back and forth.
Play it off well.
But we're so flirty in like real life that I don't know, we just have so much fun together, and you're so cute.
It's
so
a good vibe.
Do you guys learn your lines well in advance? Do you just do it the day before?
We should.
We do it the day of, usually.
Really?
But only because
on these types of movies.
These movies change so much that it becomes more confusing to learn this old dialogue that's not going to stay, and then say something that's kind of similar, but then you're like, oh wait, was it like this? Like, for us, we just go, okay, we know this is going to get rewritten. What's the story we're trying to tell? What's the point of this scene? How is it like pivotal to this part of the movie? And ultimately it comes down to like listening and reacting, not being a parrot and just repeating lines.
But if we were to do a Quentin Tarantino movie,
No, you say every word I would that Quentin Tarantino writes.
And like, I mean, if he, like, every punctuation, I would do it exactly as he has it written, because that's just how that is. But for stuff like this, like she said, I mean, there's just...
It's a different
yeah.
breed.
Yeah. And some may disagree with us. There might be people out there who are like, no, learn your lines exactly what it is, show up. And
you're never going to say them. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, like, it's just...
We'll never say the lines that we would have memorized.
And do you have certain boundaries too for if you will or won't kiss people on yep. set that are not your spouse? Like, yeah, what are your boundaries as actors and actresses?
Do you get asked that a lot?
No, we just have a really funny history with it because we didn't establish those boundaries when we first got married.
We were also in a very different season in our lives. Yeah. Like, we were just
no kids. I was 23. She was 24.
We were just growing in our faith, really understanding what it meant to follow God. Like, it's one thing to be like, yeah, I go to church on Sundays, but like have a relationship with God. And like,
we would like have a Bible study on Thursday night and then
go to the club.
Go to a club.
Go to the club that
because
night.
Because we just didn't know.
And not,
we
like,
didn't
and think. Not like party and go crazy, but it was like, okay, what? Like her stepdad, like, you know, ran a club. So it was like, okay, let's go. Let's hang out.
What's wrong with that? Like, Bible study in the club. Like, we already did Bible study. We got
but it wasn't
good
like
part
going to the club and like be like, yeah. But then after a while we realized, we were like, this is probably not.
Well, I mean, it was
very
okay.
It was very early in our conviction.
Isn't dancing so much fun though? Because we went to a club
dancing.
And, yeah, like we went to Vegas. We've only been once to the clubs, and it was so much fun. Yeah.
Like, I agree. If you're going, and again, and this is where I like battle, because intention, right?
Yeah.
If you show up with the intention like, I just want to go dance with my husband, I love dancing. Yeah. It's like so fun and you can like be free. But it wasn't like we were just dancing. We were drinking. We were around a lot of not the greatest people also at the time as well. So like, it wasn't, we weren't doing it necessarily right. Like, if right now we were like, you know what, let's go to a club and just have a mommy daddy night just of dancing, I think that intention is actually a good fun like adventure versus like going out and going clubbing because you need something else fulfilled. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's kind of fun though going out with your spouse because you know who you're going to go home with at the end of the night. You know,
and it's like, definitely getting some. You're definitely getting some.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, do you guys have like convictions on drinking? Because you mentioned drinking, so do you like not drink anymore? Or what's that like for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, the only times that I ever drink are if we go on a cruise. You know, I love champagne. Even though it's so sugary, I think like, you know, having a few glasses of champagne is just really fun. And like she doesn't drink at all.
I mean, and again, like, I've never been a huge fan of drinking. I come from a family with like a lot of addictive issues, so for me I'm just like, it's not,
yeah,
it, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything, and I also don't judge anybody for like wanting a beer or something. Like, it's that to me, that's not a very big deal.
I feel better when I don't, and I think that's why I've only always kept it to cruising, because like, I'm on vacation, so you know, you show up and they're like, here's a glass of champagne, I'm like, yeah, okay, hey. so for me that's always just been like kind of where I stay. That's pretty much it. Like, the last time I had like hard liquor, like I can't even remember. Like, long time. Probably at the club that night.
Oh my gosh, stop. And that's, yeah, I had a lot to drink that night.
Oh my
too.
Gosh,
oh no.
Can I share the story?
Yeah, what's the story?
Maybe. I mean, it's my past, so don't judge me.
This was 10
it's
years.
My past.
This is 10 years ago.
More.
Yeah, because we weren't married yet, were we?
No.
No, this is like 11, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So her dad, you know, owns and runs this club in Hollywood. So we go, we had a table, you know, he got us a bottle of vodka, and it's like these like balls are coming down, the lights are going, and like every 15 minutes it was like full on fog where you couldn't see anybody.
I love that.
It was so cool. Dude. And then like it comes out and like you like there's like people making out, you're like, what the heck, dude, you don't even know her. That thing.
It was a little weird.
That thing. So Alexa had too many vodka Red Bulls, and her.
And again, I didn't even like drinking. I was just like,
this was the one
doing
time.
It,
this was the one time that we went to the club.
Why.
The one time, and her stepdad comes over to me, and I was really prepared for the night because I was really into her. So I was like, I hired
security and
a security, and he drove my car. And, you know, had an Escalade, so, like, it felt like we had a driver. Like it was totally planned out. Like, we're going to have a good time. He's going to watch over us, and then he's going to take us back to our house, and he'll drive home. Like, I had it all planned. And her stepdad comes to me, Because she's like drunk. Because this sloppy drunk.
You guys, I don't remember it.
Yeah, sloppy drunk.
That's how bad it was.
He comes to me and he goes, she's coming home with me.
Scared Carlos.
And I was like, what? Dude, I sobered up so quick. And I like went over and I was like, it's like, sir, look, I have everything planned out. Like, I have my security here, Rennell. He's driving my car. I'll make sure that she gets home safe. Blah, 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 blah. And he, like, I talked to him for a minute and then he was like, then you guys need to go home right now. And I was like, yes, sir, of course, of course, of course, of course, of course. So we all, so me, her, and then our friend got in the car and, you know, Rennell drove us and we, you know, drove home. And this one, like, I was like, at the time, again, different place in my life, but I was like, I wonder if I'll still get some tonight. You know, it's like, eh.
Stupid. And, so stupid.
And so I say goodbye to our friends. The, you know, security leaves and I'm like, Alexa, where are you at? And I go upstairs and I open my master bedroom door and there's throw up, but it was Fruity Pebble colored because she had eaten Fruity Pebbles.
It was like purple. No.
Purple. It was colored all the way to the bathroom around. And I was like, I look over and she's just like, I'm like, oh my gosh. I was like, well, I'm definitely not getting some tonight.
You're like, I'm going to be taking care of her.
I literally like Googled like what to do. And then it's like, don't, I mean, you know, Google freaks you out. You're like, I have a cut on my finger. Like you're going to die tomorrow, you know? So it was like, do not let her swallow her own throw up. Like she could die this and that. And I'm like, freak. So I literally, she's covered in throw up. So I literally undress her into her, you know, panties, whatever it was. And
that sounds creepy.
No.
But it was actually like, very sweet.
She was covered. So like, I carefully undress her. And then I got the shower warm and I put her in the shower and I literally just sat with her head, not like this, but like this, just like in the warm shower.
For hours
until she like kind of came to. And then I got her and she like got a towel and just laid in front of the fireplace. Just flat right there.
And he cleaned everything.
And I cleaned everything like, and went to sleep.
But he was so worried that I was going to die.
I wonder if I'll get some in the morning. No, I'm just kidding.
You were not thinking that. You were not that guy.
Listen, man. I'm a dude, okay?
Oh, my God. No,
so that's why you did all that.
Yes, exactly. I did all that. But no, but then she woke up the next morning and we ordered soup and we sat and we talked and realized that that was not the life that we wanted to lead. And like, even though like that was like fun for a minute, like, was it really fun? And it was like, no. Like, we don't need to do that. And like, I was, you know, sad that I almost risked us.
Yeah.
Because like, I almost didn't get to, you know, bring her home. And the whole plan was for us to have a great night tonight. And then her stepdad was not going to like me and blah, 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 blah. And it ended up working out.
It ended up working out.
Fruity Pebble girl over here.
Stupid. Hashtag. What a crazy story.
And that's
story.
Why I don't drink, guys.
We never got to use in your boundaries with kissing.
Oh my god. Or like romantic scenes. Okay.
Land that plane, baby.
Okay, so I was on a
somebody
television
told it to me
show.
The other day, and I was like, I kind of like it. It's kind of annoying, but I kind of like it.
I like it too.
So I was on this show that I actually loved. The character was awesome. I was super proud of it. Gave me a lot of like really great stuff to work with. Now, in the beginning of the show, I'm the villain. Okay, so when I said yes to taking this show, there was zero romantic interest.
I knew that
whatsoever.
Was going to change.
I was the villain.
I was like, you're going to become a love interest. No, I was like,
and
100%.
My close friend, who actually his father made our engagement ring.
Which she loves to wear. Where is it?
I know. I'm too puffy.
I know. It doesn't fit
right
now.
I'm just too fat for it right now. So I can't. So this is like a close friend of ours that I'm working with. And two or three episodes in, I'm no longer the villain. I read this episode and I'm now the love interest. Which I have to say is really awkward because if you don't really know the person, it's a lot easier to like be the love interest of this person because there's no history there. There's no like weirdness. You just show up, you're two professionals and it's great. This guy happened to be a friend of mine and there's history there. So now I'm like, oh my gosh. And I have to call Carlos and tell him.
What kind of history?
No, like friends.
No, I know. I'm just wanting to clarify for
oh,
the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, there's history there of just like a friendship, but good. We're like buddies. So now I have to find out that I have to like kiss my buddy and have these kind
how
of like
how long ago is this?
Oh wow,
this is
you're married.
This is
we
10
had,
years
we had just gotten married.
Okay, so
and didn't set boundaries.
So we didn't have boundaries yet of like what we were okay with and what we weren't. And this was a CW show. So CW is not known for just like you do a cute little Hallmark peck. Like this was, and again, this was early on in our walk with our faith, with what we were comfortable with. So like it's a very kind of, I wouldn't say raunchy because it wasn't like HBO, but for CW, it was a very intimate scene. Yeah. And I had to like call Carlos and tell him. And he's like, you're not doing that.
No. That's not how it happened.
You forced her to not do it?
No. So I'm on tour with Big Time Rush in some overseas country somewhere.
You were in Colombia.
You were in Colombia,
South American
tour. I was in my hotel room. And I remember this because George was there too.
Oh, no.
And she calls me. She's like, hey, so I have this... You were right. Now I'm the love interest, blah, blah, blah. And I have this scene to do and this. And I'm like, and you have to kiss him? And she's like, yeah. And she goes, so for things like this, do you want me to tell you before or after? And I'm like, well, before. Obviously, like, I want to know before. And she goes, okay, well, I had one yesterday and I have one tomorrow. And I literally died. Like,
he started crying.
I was crying.
Because he was like, you cheated on me. I'm like, wait, what?
And I'm like, you should have told me that you had one yesterday. You didn't tell me that you like made out with this dude on camera. So then I'm like in this hotel room bawling. My friend George comes in and he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, my wife cheated on me. Like the world was over. I cannot perform tonight. Like, not going to happen. And then we finally, you know, whatever, I kind of manned up. I was like, it's fine. So 2-3 days later, I fly straight to Canada after the tour to meet her
on set.
And the next, so
you're like, hi, sir. Nice to
yeah, yeah. Well, no, I knew him.
With him. His dad literally made our engagement rings.
But then we're literally hanging out. We have a great little night together and like life is good. We're back, you know, we're just connected again. And she's like, I have to leave for work this morning. I'm like, yeah, of course. She's like, hey, I have another scene and I have to basically wear like lingerie and then take my coat off and be in lingerie and then basically like straddle him. And I was like,
no, hold on.
Whatever. And I said, no, you can't do it. She's like, I have to. It's today. And I was like, no.
Tell them no.
I was like, you just tell them no. She's like, I have to be. I was like, nope, tell them no. And then we got to another big fight. And I was just like, this is crazy. I was like, I can't do this for the rest of my life. Like, so then we finally got over that. She did it. It's fine. But we basically, after that experience and that roller coaster of emotions, we just set boundaries. And it was like, what are you okay with? Like, obviously, like, was it the biggest deal? No. But like, no one wants to see their wife.
Yeah.
You know, with another guy, even if it's just acting. Like, you know, she kept saying, babe, like, it's, and now that I've done like, kissing stuff, like, it's awkward. Like, it's not like you're like, you know, making out with this girl and you're like, yeah, I love this. You're like, dude, there are 25 people watching us right now, let's just get this scene
and
over
also,
with.
Yeah, there's like a specific kiss when like on camera,
yeah,
versus,
which I didn't know,
like, in
really?
Real life,
I didn't know these things.
They're
guys,
very different. They're very, very different how you kiss.
Explain that. Yeah,
so
no tongue,
like, there's
unless,
no
unless it, because I've seen a movie where I'm like, dang, these people are really going at it.
Yeah, but usually those people are hooking up behind the scenes.
Oh.
So you can usually tell when like something's going on behind the scenes. But I think what was really, really powerful for me in that moment that I learned a lot about, because I had my best friend Andrew kind of walking me through that season. And he's like been our mentor throughout so much. But specifically in that season, it was tough because in my head, I'm like, this is my career. I didn't think anything wrong. Like, there was nothing wrong with what I was doing in my head. In my head, I'm like, this is just acting. This isn't real or whatever. But now I look back at that and I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so naive to be in that position, because I would never take projects like that now. While the character was amazing and I loved the like oomph that they gave me to work with every week, there were so many things that were unnecessary or that we could have pulled back from to still give her like the range that was amazing without having to be overly sexualized. And I think especially in my walk, that's been the biggest thing, that not hurdle that I've had to overcome, but it's really what has caused me to have to like turn down a lot of projects, because I will love a character but ultimately just be like, I don't trust that they're not going to take her somewhere else, or like they'll have like nudity in something, or, you know, just like overly sexualized for no reason. And I'm like, this is what's wrong with all of our stuff today. We're just like doing stuff for shock factor, shock value.
And it causes people to stumble. And I'm like, yeah. I, like, there's no point in being responsible for that, you know? Yeah. Like, right. we're human beings, like, you know, you have a bad day and then something else catches your attention. You're like, well, I'm mad here, so I'm going to go here. And it's like,
right.
How do we like help just clean up the world a little bit?
So we set healthy boundaries with each other, but then those boundaries ended up even kind of going further to like being like, man, I don't want to portray that for other people. I don't want other people to see me doing those kind of things anymore. Yeah. So it really hit me on a deeper level, but it took me a little bit longer just because like, for me at the time, my career was my life. I've been doing this since I was 4. So I was just like, what? Like, who are you to tell me that something I've been doing since I was like 4 years old, now you're trying to like take over? I mean, that I just felt very defensive of it at the time and not really coming from a place of like, oh my gosh, this is my husband. How is this affecting him? How is this actually affecting me spiritually? There was just so much growth that I had to do and that we did together and learned a lot.
And just to add this, that's not to say that like if a role has, I don't know, like you're a crack addict, you know, and you're doing this thing.
Yeah.
Like for us, like if there's a really great story of redemption and at the end you see the journey and there's a positive message, like to me, like those are the stories that I want to tell.
Heck
so it's not about like doing these clean cutter movies all my life. But
well, that's not even the reality of the Christian walk. Like Christianity is messy. It's sloppy. It's painful. It is ugly sometimes. But like those are the stories I'd rather tell. When you watch, and I'm not trying to put all these Christian movies down, but you watch these like cookie cutter Christian movies and you're like, well, that's definitely not what my walk looked like. And maybe for some people that's what it looked like, but it definitely didn't look like that for me or most of my friends who now love the Lord and who like live a totally different life than they used to. Like, those are the kind of stories that I want to tell, because you really have to show like the pain of what somebody went through to get to where they are now. And you can't just show a clean, happy version of it, because then I feel like you're just doing a disservice for that story, but also for people who are literally in the thick of it right now. Because in their heads, they're probably thinking, well, nobody's as bad as me. Mm. Nobody's like they probably got saved, or they're probably in a better place now because they weren't even really that far off from being good anyway. I'm so far off. Like, what hope is there for me? Mm. When I'm no, we've all been through the gutter.
We all got junk.
Yeah.
Thank you to ZocDoc for sponsoring this portion of today's episode. I officially have ADHD and I have ZocDoc to thank for it, because what they do is they allow you to do a virtual doctor's appointment. And so it got me thinking, hey, if I actually want to be evaluated for ADHD, maybe I could do this virtually, because I'm a busy guy. I don't have a lot of free time to just drive to the doctor and stuff. And so Abby set up my doctor's appointment for me using ZocDoc, and I got evaluated, and turns out that I have ADHD.
ZocDoc was really easy to use. It's a place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable and actually listen to you. Being seen by a doctor nowadays can feel overwhelming, especially when you're like, I don't know if they take my insurance, and I don't know if, like, how far is that? Is this the right place to go? Like, there's so many questions about it. Even as an adult, I feel like it's just difficult to navigate, and ZocDoc makes that so easy, because I just put Matt's insurance information. They take your insurance. They connect him with the doctor. He had an appointment literally the next day.
It was so
fast.
And
it was very efficient and great quality advice too.
Think about this. All the time that you save doing a virtual doctor's appointment is incredible, because you usually have to drive all the way there, wait in the waiting room, then you go back, then you have to wait on the doctor because they're seeing other patients first. All in, you're probably taking like 3 hours to go to the doctor. You know, I don't know. If you're quick, maybe 2. But to do this ZocDoc appointment, it literally took me 20 minutes. It was so fast.
And what's really cool is that ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated, patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists that can really help you out with pretty much anything you would need to see a doctor for.
Yeah.
The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between 24 and 72 hours.
It's so fast.
That is unreal. So we use ZocDoc, and you guys should too. Go to ZocDoc.com ZocDoc.com/unplanned and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/unplanned. ZocDoc.com/unplanned.
Back to the episode. Do actresses have a say-so in, okay, I love this role, I love this story, but this nude scene, like, that's not for me. I'm not comfortable with it.
They actually do.
So you've been able to say that before with roles?
So it just depends on the project. It depends on, and you'll hear this again and again on like different TV shows or movies where I think, you know, there was one girl, I know the show, but I don't want to say it because I'm not 100% sure. But in the first season, I think there was like nudity and the girl was totally fine with it. But then in the second season, she realized she didn't like what came with it. She just felt like so exposed. She's like, I don't ever want to do that again. So when it came time to the second season, she's like, I'm not doing that anymore. And they can't force you to be naked on set at the end of the day. Like, they can't force you to do that. So in all honesty, you could take a role and say, yeah, I'm okay with doing it, and then show up and say, I'm not doing it.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that because I think that's kind of like a little unfair. I would just be straight up right away. And not her. I was just saying, like, if you were some actor that just said, yeah, sure, I'll do it, and then decided not to. I feel like, depending on, one, where you're at in your career, and two, if you can come up with something that would also be like of equal value. Like, for instance, hey, listen, this scene calls for nudity in the writing, but it will still be just as powerful without the nudity. Here's why. Here's how I think we can do it. Offer them another angle. And a lot of times they want to accommodate. Like, there are some people who are just weird, who just are like kind of perverts and want naked people on set, like that's just how some people are, and you won't be able to change it, and either you get fired or you leave or you walk.
I've even heard, like, on Game of Thrones, the actress who played Cersei said, I don't want to do the walk of shame.
Since
they did a body double, because I guess it was essential, or the producers or director, whoever,
they felt like it was essential,
role. And so she said, okay, fine, I'm not doing it. And so they were still able to tell the story without her body. And I even think about movies like Schindler's List, like, such a sad movie,
right?
But like, when you see the people who don't have clothes on, you're like, I cannot believe that people were just treated like cattle,
because it's not sexualized. Exactly. It's intention. And I, again, like, my issue isn't nudity. Gosh, the human body is beautiful. I actually, like, some of my favorite art pieces or like photographs are actually of like naked pregnant women, or because they're beautiful. There's nothing sexualized about it. The problem is how we've sexualized everything. But you made a great point. Like, I look at a movie like Schindler's List, and I would never be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe those people are naked. Like, oh my, like, no, you don't think that way, because they're telling a story of, first off, history, and what has happened and what these people went through. And I think that's why we go back to, it's not as simple as just like never doing nudity, never doing this, never, like, it's more about, okay, what is the story? How does this move the story? What is the intention here? What is the intention for the audience to receive? Yeah. How are they getting this? Is this causing them to stumble, or is this giving them insight to something horrific that has happened? So I think there's so much more to it than just no to this and no to this.
I mean, I always laugh back when I was like first starting on Instagram and stuff. Dude, I was like, I was always posting like shirtless photos. I'm like, yeah, I'm at the gym. And then once all this started happening, I was like,
why am I doing this?
Yeah, like, why am I doing this? A is because I, at the time, I really wanted that
attention.
And it's like,
that validation.
Yeah, and it's like that. Just feels, now it feels wrong.
Dude, you look good in those photos. I went back at your Instagram.
Shut up.
I was like, dang.
Shut up, man.
I was like, this dude freaking shredded.
I'm gonna stalk you, bro.
You're in a lot of shirtless content.
Dude, that's what's funny is there's pictures of me at family Christmas and everyone's wearing a sweater.
Matt, you always use that.
And I'm sure, I have the photo on my phone. I'm shirtless and everyone's wearing a sweater.
Yeah, but like, are you posting it being like, look at my shirtless body?
No, I just hated wearing shirts as a kid. So I still do.
But this is Carlos. Carlos never has clothes on, ever. Well, like, this man is always just
that's
in,
why
like,
I love Hawaii, because in Hawaii you can just wear swim trunks and no shirt and no one
and no shoes.
And that's us. Well, I was even laughing with like the babysitter today. I'm like, hey, so listen, I know it's kind of weird, but like, my kids don't wear underwear because we're from an island where like we literally just live in bathing suits, so I can't get them to put on underwear. So I'm like, just put her shorts on, like, she'll be fine, she doesn't need undies.
I mean, I don't wear underwear, do you?
I wear underwear, yeah.
Wow, so you don't like wearing shirts, but you like wearing underwear.
Yeah, I've always worn underwear.
You wear underwear with your swim trunks.
Shut up.
What?
You guys don't wear underwear?
Dude, I don't wear underwear, period.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either one of you guys? No, you guys just go commando all the time.
All the time. What's the point of that? You know what? I wear underwear if I'm wearing light pants, only because sometimes if you go to the restroom and you don't shake very well. Sometimes there's a drip and then you're like, oh, freaks, I'm in white pants.
That's the reason.
Yeah,
I'm dead.
But I don't wear underwear. No? Is that not a thing?
Neither one of you guys are wearing underwear right now?
No.
She's like,
Abby, do you have your undies on today? Because I do.
I'm wearing undies.
Okay.
Well, okay, but hold on. But
two out of the four of us.
What's the point of underwear then?
I think it's just to keep the particles from getting on your clothes.
But what particles?
Like, I don't know, like poop and like NP.
Yeah, but like, I mean, like, you're gonna wash it anyways.
You guys,
Ever, how dirty are you, bro?
Bro, I wipe well.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know what are we talking about right now.
It's unplanned, dude.
What the frick is going on?
Keep it together.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, not you. I'm so sorry. So hard. I'm like, okay.
I love how honest you guys are.
I told you, we have zero boundaries. It's a problem.
No, I love it. But I think something that's really cool that you guys have opened up about is like difficult, like struggling in your marriage, which is something like we've talked about too. And then, of course, the internet's like, well, you're going to get divorced. But like, it's like,
thanks, internet.
It's like, wait, you guys never have disagreements in your marriage. Oh my God.
I think it's really healthy to have healthy disagreements. And then for other people, if you're in a healthy place, for other people to know that, because if you're having conflict in your marriage, it can feel very isolating at times.
Heck yeah.
Especially when you're seeing people, you know, in Hallmark movies or like everything looks picture perfect. But I think that's really cool and inspiring about you guys. I guess like talk more about that.
Well, I mean, last night we had a great, I mean, okay. I like I said in the beginning of the podcast, if you challenge me, I will take the challenge. Like, you know,
Carlos has a very strong personality, which is great. That's what I married him for. Like, I love how strong.
Not my good looks.
And you're sexy. Yeah,
thank you very
amazing,
much. Thank
good you, thank looks. You, thank you, thank you. I am somebody who I was such a people pleaser for so long that it's really hard for me to stand up or like say, you know what? No, I don't like this. It's taken me a long time to kind of find my voice. So usually if there was ever a disagreement, immediately I'm like, okay, yeah, no, I'm sorry. Like, oh, you're right. Like, okay. Like I cower very quickly. So those two opposites were kind of crazy. So we had to find a way to meet in the middle. So I'm getting much better at saying things that I don't like.
And I'm getting much better at not overpowering and understanding. But we definitely have moments. So last night, we're talking about something and it's just something simple. But our writer had to change a writer. So a buddy of mine was like, well, how about this writer? And I was like, well, see if he can write the first 10 pages just so we can get a, you know, like a vibe check on him. I got off the phone and she's like, I wish you would have talked to me about that. And I'm like, what? She goes, you should have, you know, asked me. That was like, I was like, it has nothing to do with us. Like, it's not affecting us. He's going to have his buddy just do a vibe check on the writing and see his writing style, whatever. But we got to this thing, but I was super committed that I did not feel like I needed to ask her permission for that. And she felt the opposite. So instead of like resolving it right there, we tried to, and then I just put my hard hat on and I was like, all right, fine. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm just going to clean.
No. What did you say?
Well, you
what
remember.
Did you
I
say,
don't.
Babe?
I blacked out. What did I say?
I'm just going to have to start focusing on me.
I did say that.
I said, good luck with that.
No, because you know what? In my defense, I was very overwhelmed. We spent 2 days where she was kind of in the bed, just chilling
in
and I had the kids and I was
pressure.
Doing everything and the house.
Life
and
is stressful. Life.
So I was just like, I mean, man, I'm cleaning. Like, even though there's no furniture, the house gets very messy with these kids.
You have to know, I understood this though. So like, I was not mad.
But I kind of get into this place where like I just do me and I'm like, fine, you know what? I'll take care of the kids. I'm not, I don't need you. It's fine. It's fine. And I just got into one of those moods. And anyways, so those things kind of happen, but we always find like I don't like going to bed angry. she likes
I do not mind going to bed angry. Yeah. Do you know why? I need to rest. Yes. I need my brain to take a break first before I can have this conversation. Whereas he's the opposite. It's like 2 a.m. He's like no, like, we need to have this conversation now. And my brain literally needs time to process it.
You guys
it.
Do that?
Well, I totally relate to you.
Who's who? Who's who?
Like,
you're like me.
Abby Let's always get relates right to the husband and I always, relate, always to the relate to
the husband. Always. But hold on. He's like the wife in the marriage. But hold on, hold on,
hold on. Hold on. I think I just had an epiphany for me.
Okay, tell me.
All of my issues that I have in life with like confrontation come from rejection. Mm-hmm. I have a really estranged relationship with my parents. Mm-hmm. Both of us do.
Yeah.
We're like literally we're on our own. Like we don't have anybody. So like, no grandparents and nothing. It's just us. And I think that is really like that whole thing of rejection and just in life and in acting and this world, rejection is a huge thing for me. Like yeah. If I feel like I go into a conversation and someone's not liking me, I start trying to make the conversation like liven up because I'm like, I want them to like me, you know? Mm. Yeah. So I think you going to sleep at night and us not solving it to me is a form of rejection. Because I'm going, so like now we're going to bed and my wife who like supposed to love me is like really mad with me and I don't want to be rejected. So how can I like, no, let's solve this.
No, mm-hmm. Usually I'll go to sleep like not super happy, but I'll be like, okay. I'll still touch
yeah, she'll
you.
Touch me with
you'll
the toe.
You'll get like one touch.
The toe! I tell that. I'm like, just you'll give get me the like toe. A little touch.
Wait, you'll do the toe?
No, I'm such a chick.
Okay. Abby does that to me.
I'm such a chick, man.
No. I make him give me his toe. I'm like, just show me that you still are
like,
here.
Like, you're still here.
So we you
still
like to go to sleep resolve, and like. Rest it off and breathe.
Well, if we've been talking about it for over an hour, I'm like, it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
like,
let's figure this
let's
out.
Let's get some sleep. We're going to be okay. We'll still be married in the morning. Let's just resolve it.
I'll go till the morning. I'm
like, yeah, like let's me. Let's hash this out right now.
But what you actually need is a break from the moment.
Yeah.
For both of you to go, it's actually like right now it's under a magnifying glass. It's really not that big of a deal. You both just need to rest because there's probably other stressors causing the animosity, causing that sort mm-hmm. of like riffraff. And that rest does everything. We didn't finalize the conversation last night. We technically didn't
well,
like
the boat thing happened.
Anything.
And that's why I said, hey, listen, I know we have all this stuff going on. Let's just put that to the side and let's just forget about that. And let's deal with the boat right now. And then I kind of washed everything
but
away.
But how good was that rest yeah. this morning?
Oh my God.
Literally washed
thank you,
it away.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Something I just thought of, I did a deep dive on your YouTube channel together. I love all your vlogs of living on a boat.
No.
And something I saw way, way back from 12 years ago, you made this music video with Justin Bieber and Selena as well. Like, as
Call Me Maybe.
You have to know, Call Me Maybe had been out for 2 years and nobody had heard of the song.
Wait, did your video blow up the song?
Yes. Yeah,
so
wait, what?
Hold on. In a nutshell, I was dating someone who was like best friends with Selena. So
she lives here in Tennessee.
Yeah.
She's the girl that we were talking
with
about.
The
she's
ex,
super sweet.
The ex that sold you your house is the girl that was in the video.
Different ex. But different she also ex. Lives
the ex
in
after
Tennessee.
That one.
Was friends with Selena.
So was that
how
one?
Many okay. exes did you have by the age
he
of 23?
He was a serial dater.
I was a dater because I hated being alone. I didn't like rejection. It all goes back. Oh my gosh, this is therapy for me.
Okay.
Free. They need unplanned therapy sessions.
That's we all need those.
So basically, girlfriend came over. Then Selena was there. I have a funny story with Taylor Swift too. But she comes over and it was me, Selena, Ashley. Alfredo, and my girlfriend at the time. And basically she's like, yeah, Justin keeps playing this song. He's obsessed with it. It's his girl from Canada, whatever. She plays it. And it's like, I just met you. This is crazy. I'm like, oh, this is cool. So I pull out my, you know, Mac laptop and put on Photo Booth and we made a whole thing and sent it to him because Selena was like, I can't stand this song. She, you know, he's always playing it. So we make this video and it's really cute and really fun. So we make another one. And then every time people would come over to my house, we would just pull out the laptop, put Photo Booth and play the song. I just met you. This is great. Just keep doing it over and over again. Then, you know, a few, you know, with the Big Time Rush guys, Justin did a few of them. And then me and Alfredo did an edit and that was the video. And Fredo was like, he did a good chunk of the edit. He was pivotal in that. And then we put it on my YouTube channel, which I was trying to grow. And actually I got Scooter like yelled at me because I put it out on like a random Monday and he's like, you know what, man, we should have planned this out and did this, blah, blah. At the time, I didn't really care.
Didn't he like scream at you to take it down for a minute?
I don't know.
This is Scooter, Scooter Braun.
Scooter Braun, yeah.
Justin Bieber's manager.
Yeah. Like he was not happy that like we like put it out on a Monday or something like that.
Strategy.
Yeah, well, I mean, but
But he's just a kid. He was like, we were just having fun.
But like, you know, and then my brother, like, who was helping me with my YouTube, he's like 4 years younger than me, calls up Scooter and tries to get a release so that we could monetize it. And Scooter's like, no. I was like, oh, dude, because that would have been some good money right there.
Yeah. Well, it has like 80 million views.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, I'll take it.
I'll take it.
But so the song starts blowing up, and I feel like that was like, kind of the first viral video of that type at its time, where it was like just a bunch of like friends hanging out and making this, you know, like a little music video. And then the song blew up. Song just kept going. And she kind of got like a second, that song got a second win. And I don't know if it's true. I mean, I heard a lot of different stories, like, you know, like the label was about to drop her. I like, maybe not. It's just kind of, you know, hearsay.
Yeah.
But 100% that song is what made her relevant, and obviously Justin Bieber being a part of it, and Selena, and like all that. And the craziest thing is, I did Grease Live with Carly Rae, and she never mentioned it.
I was like, why didn't you bring it up?
She did back into Alexa's car, and
oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
Carly Rae, I mean, yeah, never.
She never thanked you for blowing up her song.
I never expected thanks, but I just thought like, should we just bring it up? Like,
why didn't you bring it up? Were you too nervous?
I just didn't think it was worth. Like, I was nervous. You know, rejection.
Yep, yep.
Was that like a circle that you hung around with, like your ex girlfriend Selena, Justin Bieber?
Yeah. A handful of times.
Okay.
This like one story. I came home from shooting one night, and again, like, I had this house that I partnered up with my dad to like redo it. So we basically like gutted it and like, you know, redid it. And I made this like little movie theater in there. And I come home one night from working, and my girlfriend, Selena, and Taylor Swift are all in the theater just like hanging out. And I open the door. I'm like, oh, hey. See ya. I close the door. I gotta go to bed. And now I think about it, I'm like, that's crazy.
It's crazy. But you also weren't that guy. Like,
no.
You stayed out of those kind of circles. Yeah.
But it's so crazy to me. I was like, dude, Taylor Swift was in my house. It's crazy.
That's so wild.
It really was.
Yeah.
So I thought it was funny too, looking back at your YouTube channel, because then the One Direction was opening for you. Like, One Direction
was
opening for Big Time Rush.
That was hard, man.
And you're interviewing One Direction. All the guys are right there. And I'm like, this is hilarious that like they all look like infants. Like, they were all so young.
That was the hardest thing for us as a band, because we kind of got forced to do it. Like,
really?
Yeah, our label was like, hey, this boy band, and we didn't think it was a good idea. We were like, I don't know, I know. And look, they were super successful. Props to them. They have some, I love all their music.
And they were all really nice.
But literally, they killed it. they would go out, do their, you know, 45 minutes, and then after our show, fans were outside of the theater chanting for One Direction. So
really?
For us, like, that was really hard for us.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No. And you know what? They offered for us to open for them in the UK. They did like 11 shows at the O2 or something crazy. And our egos got in the way. We were like, no, never. We probably should have done it.
Yeah, you should've.
That probably would have been a good, great business move, honestly, to open up for One Direction.
But I think we just, you know, our ego. I mean, and we were kids. Like, I was like 22, you know? Like, it's hard to control your ego at that age. And for us, you know, we were doing our tour, but then this opener would come in and they really just wanted to see them. And like, that hurt. Although our tour was sold out before they got on. So they were there to see us, but it was like the Beatles. It was like a freak of nature. They came in and people just, they wanted these five cute British boys. And
Do you still hang out with any of them or keep in touch with any members of One Direction?
One Direction? No. You know, I mean, I'm sure that if we saw each other, we'd be like, oh, hey. Yeah, cool. But no, they're all doing their stuff. Niall was always like the sweetest one. Like, he was so
Niall's
cool.
Yeah, Niall's great. Aww.
Yeah.
Super sweet.
I love his music. There's a... what's the song that I listen to? Heaven by Niall Horan, I think, is the one.
I've never heard it.
His music's so good.
Is it?
Like,
we actually got to listen to it.
Yeah, and I didn't even know... I was never like a One Direction fan, but I started listening to Niall after the band split, and I think his music's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they're super talented. They're all so talented. I mean, what they did, like, I hope that we can do stadiums one day. Like,
how sick would that be? Like, to have a stadium full of people that connect to the music like you do.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, that just must be the coolest thing ever.
You guys have to come see their shows.
Their shows
are insane. They sold out their like both tours back to back. They're about to go on another tour
in Europe,
which is going to be great and huge, which I'm super bummed because I will have just given birth, so I can't go.
Oh, no.
They're really good. Like, they're such strong performers. They've been doing it for so many years now that there's just this, like, cohesiveness that just works between all four of them. And I don't know, like, I think for a while they stopped. I mean, they stopped performing, and I would always tell Los, I'm like, babe, you have to get back on stage. Like, you were made for this. Like, God really gave you a gift, and that's hard to do. Like, if anybody could do it, they would. Not everybody has that, like, it factor. And I'm like, you have it. You have to do it. And he's just so good on stage. Well,
what we have with the band now is really cool, because we run the show. Like, back in the day, it was all Nickelodeon and Sony kind of controlling everything.
Yeah.
And we were able to get the rights to, you know, use the name. And Big Time Rush is kind of like our baby now, versus before, you know, you worked for the man.
Yeah. Well,
now we are the men.
That's so cool that you guys are, like, back together and touring. Are you just loving getting to perform live again? Is that,
yeah, I mean,
that
it's so fun. And, like, the whole family goes on tour.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, like, we live, you know, on a tour bus, which tour is bus, and we so go around special.
And, you know,
kind of like a boat.
That's crazy.
We're, you know, working on, you know, developing a Big Time Rush movie right now.
No way.
So yeah, yeah, that's, it's
there
crazy.
There are a lot of things that we've
worked hard for.
It's
crazy that we're 15 years we've been doing Big Time Rush.
Wow.
It's just a part of me. And the fact that we took, like, a 10-year break, we had kids. One of my bandmates, you know, got married, having a baby, like, all those things. It's like, all of us have grown up, so we've matured quite a bit. So there aren't the fights that we used to have.
Were there fights?
You guys used to fight a lot.
Yeah. I mean, do you fight with your brothers?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like having three brothers.
Hold on. You guys still fight. But you have learned.
It's manly fights now.
You have all learned how to communicate better. Like, before, it was like childish fights. Now,
well, we're business partners now, right? Before, we were hired hands, and it was kind of like.
That changes everything.
Yeah, yeah. Now we're business partners. So if I don't want to do something, they have to go, okay, well, why? And it's like, well, because my family, like, okay, well, how about the band pays for X and X to do it? Okay, you know what? Fine. That's a good compromise. Okay, great. So we have to just come at it with a different approach. But so far, so good.
You guys have been handling it very maturely. Very proud of you.
Now I want to go see one of your shows. That
Please.
Must be
you
so
have
sick.
To.
I
it
heard
has
you
so fun.
And you sold out Madison Square Garden.
MSG.
That's insane.
Oh, yeah. And the Forum in LA. And, you know, what's crazy is that we are doing Europe this summer, and we're playing a show in Amsterdam. And the day that the tickets went on sale, that show, like, sold out.
Wow.
But there were still, and I don't know how this is even possible, but we got an email from the promoter that there were still 78,000 people in the queue to get tickets. 78,000.
Bro, you should sell an arena. Why are you not doing an arena tour?
So the issue is, we're doing a smaller show out there, so our production is only so big. And to do a huge arena or a stadium, like,
you can't show up with like
a couple lights and, you know. So our goal is to really blow this one out, and then hopefully in 2025, if you know, all works out, do a massive world tour.
How is that, being a family man touring the world?
We would be going with them on that tour.
Okay.
Yeah.
They don't have a choice. Mama's putting her foot
Mama's
down on
coming.
That one. I want to go on that
four
one.
Four kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it'll also be different too, because when you go to Europe in that way, I imagine that you guys are going to have more dates.
Yeah.
It's going to be a longer tour. By then, you know, another one of his bandmates will have had a kid. So I just feel like it just makes sense that the families will be there. Right now, when they do these quick shows, they're doing fly dates. So they're, like, showing up to a place, and then as soon as they're done with the show, they get a little bit of rest, and then they fly to their next location. Doing that with four kids, one, he would never get rest, and two, it would just be way, way too hard. So I just feel like the thing that makes the most sense is, like, this tour – he's only gone for, like, 3 or 4 weeks. He'll go take off. But next year, if it turns out that, like, they get to do, like, some giant world tour, we'll all work something out to where we all get to go.
It's cool. It's unplanned. The police are at the boat, and they want to speak to me.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Yeah, dude, totally take the call.
Bruce
yeah.
just called me. But do you guys just want to continue with her?
Yeah, I had some questions about Spy Kids, if that's okay.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Are you kidding me?
If that you're cool like with that, I'll just show. Step out.
Dude, you're good.
And I'm going to go talk to the police. Don't worry. I'll be back. I'm going to go talk to
okay,
the police.
Okay, dude, I'm so interested. I'm invested in it now in this hit and run on your boat.
Baby. Let's go.
Okay.
Who would have thought hit and run on the boat?
Okay.
First of all, for you, I want to say you are such a chill mama. Like, you literally was four, like, about to have four.
It's so fun, truly. I don't know. I just, so I think a lot of that has to do with, so I started acting when I was four. And I think when you grow up in this industry, you are never in one place. You are always on the go. You're constantly meeting new people. When you think things are going to be one way, they really turn out to be another. So if you don't have like a go with the flow personality, that industry just won't work for you. So for me, it's just kind of been one of those things where I'm like, oh, well, like it's out of my control anyway. The things that I can't control, great. The things that I can't, whatever. We're going to make the best of it.
I love that. I always want to be more of that because I feel like, especially since becoming a mom, like my want to control, like I've never been like, I don't really like being in control of things, but it's definitely like I start to feel it more where I'm like,
really? Oh,
like I need stability. I need like,
what are routine. The stressors for you? The routine?
Like I'm like, I need routine. I need like, to some extent.
I get that though, because that creates a lot of good stability with, you know, kids at home having that routine. And yeah. I think that's kind of been the hardest for us in this season of living on the boat. Like we're so ready for a routine for our family, even for our kids, just giving them that stability. Now, it just, remember, like we travel nonstop. So luckily our kids are also very go with the flow. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to find a way to balance like, okay, how do we have a routine that makes sense for the life that we live? So is it no matter where we go, is it like starting the morning with like a prayer time or always ending it with like either a bath, a story, and a prayer, or just something that just always stays the same no matter where we go, what can stay the same so that way they know what to look forward to regardless if we're on a boat, on like tour, or in like some random studio filming a movie, you know?
I love that. I feel like it's like almost more like a rhythm in my mind because it's like, yes, we can do this anywhere else, but it's like a routine. I'm like, it has to be in this room, in this space, this way. Right. Like, I love that.
Which I love too, but I've just learned that's just not our life. As much as I would love to just be like, this is our homeschool room. This is where we will always do homeschool. That's nice for when we're home. But when we're not home, when we're just on the road, it's not going to happen that way. And I have to be okay with that. And if I'm not, my head's going to explode. So I've just learned, like, if I'm going to make it work, then I have to be okay with these random changes. And then, like, it's that letting go of control. Once you let go of control, it's just life gets better.
Right.
It really does.
You're
it
never
really
disappointed. Does. You're like, mom, it's out of my hands.
Yeah. Which took him a long time because he is, like, the typical Latino, like, I want to be in control. I've got this, whatever. And the more and more he's just let go of the control, I just watched stress just release from him so much. Like, this boat situation happened 5 years ago. Carlos would have reacted in such a different way. He would have been a mess. He never would have slept well, at night. He would have been like, what do I do? I have to fly there right now, whatever. Like, whereas in this season of his life, he's just learned, like, it's out of my control anyway. I'll deal with it tomorrow. Let's get a good night rest, and that's it. But it took a long time to get through letting that go.
How often do you get confused for Lava Girl from Shark Boy and Lava
Girl?
All
the time. All the time. Okay, so Taylor is a good friend of mine. Taylor Dooley. She is like the coolest girl ever. But I can't tell you how many times people think it's the same movie because it's the same director, same crew, same like studios, everything about it was all the same except for the fact that
totally different
that
movies.
Was Taylor Dooley.
This morning, Abby was like, we definitely need to talk about Sharkboy and Lava Girl because like that was such an iconic
movie.
I get
it confused.
And I'm like, Abby.
Listen, Abby.
So was Spy Kids. I had Spy Kids on DVD.
But everybody thinks it's the same.
They do have similar vibes.
You know what? They have similar vibes. I only just recently watched Sharkboy and Lava Girl. I never did until, I would say, a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, because my kids are obsessed with Sharkboy and Lava Girl. Like, they like Spy Kids. They do. But they love Sharkboy and Lava Girl. And now I know why. I watched it. I'm like, this is great. It's actually really deep. And, like, the story that they're telling and, like, both Taylor, like, all the kids were great, but, like, Taylor did such a good job with their characters. I'm like, this was actually a really, really good movie. I'm a little sad it wasn't a Spy Kid movie.
That's so
funny. Spy Kids was Spy my Kids. Childhood, and me being one of three brothers, like, we thought Spy Kids was so freaking
cool.
But
there was a sequel, too, right?
Yeah, we did a bunch of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot.
There were three originals. And then 10 years later, they did a fourth, and that was with Jessica Alba, New Kids. And we were there, but like we weren't, we were just like kind of like random people a part of it.
Okay.
And then they recently just rebooted all of Spy Kids, but with New Kids again.
No way.
But like we weren't a part of it at all. To be honest with you, it was actually like a really sad moment because I think we just always assume like one day they'll reboot it and like maybe we'll have the opportunity to either like it be our kids or you know, something like Daryl and I. So Daryl played Junie. Something Daryl and I were like, oh, that'd be so fun, you know, 20 years. In 20 years, like, we'll make, like, a real brand new Spy Kids or something. Cute. And I get a phone call. Or no, he's at rehearsal. We're at the studio. He's at rehearsal because he's about to go on tour. And this guy walks in and he's like, oh, my gosh, I've been meaning to call you. My good friend is the new Spy Kid. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't even know they were making another one. And he's like, my good friend, his kid is the new Spy Kid. And I, like, just played it off. I was like, no way, good for him. Oh, so awesome. He's like, oh, I got to FaceTime them. So, like, they're, like, FaceTiming. I'm like, this is so cool. And in my head, I'm like, they're making a new Spy Kids? Like, aww. What? And I remember calling Daryl and just being like, did you know about this? By the way, Daryl's married to Meghan Trainor. He has, like, a great life. He is doing awesome. But we were just like, kind of just our feelings were hurt because like nobody even told us. Nobody was like, hey, listen, like we're going to save you guys for later or something. Like there was nothing. And we just both felt like just a part of us had kind of like died. It was this weird experience because it was such a part of our lives. A part of our lives. But like since then, you know, like while they were filming Spy Kids, they film everything in Austin, Texas. He happened to be going like on the tour bus through Austin. So I just wrote and I was like, hey, we're in Austin. I want the kids to be able to go see the old airport hangar where we shot. Is that open right now? And they were like, actually, we're still in the middle of filming. Do you guys want to come to set? So we went to set. We met the new kids. They could not have been nicer. They pulled out every old gadget out of storage.
Wow.
And displayed it. Like our old Super Guppy, our old spy plane, the Dragonfly submarine. They pulled all of these out of storage, you guys, and brought them into this giant airport hangar, like green screen stage. And then pulled out like our watch and Ralph, that little like spider guy that would like crawl around. Like all these different cool, like nostalgic gadgets were just on display in like our old costumes, and my kids were just having the time of their lives. And it was the weirdest thing to literally be like sitting in the Super Guppy holding my kids.
Aww.
And like being a grown up, having that, like it was such an emotional, beautiful experience. And then when I showed up to set, like the new set that they were filming with like the new kids, the crew is the exact same. That's what's really cool about the filmmaker of this movie. Robert uses the same people over and over and over again. That's why a lot of times you'll see like the same cast come through there, the same crew. He keeps his crew always. So they know how he works. He knows how they work. And it's just this tight-knit community. So the people that I worked with 20 years ago were the same people that were there. And like, we were all bawling because they're like, you're here with your kids on this set. It was just such a beautiful, unique experience.
Wow.
And yeah, so even though it was like a passing of the torch and like that was kind of like sad, it was also just really, really beautiful to be able to have that experience and with my babies.
Mm.
That's so sweet. Now I'm really sad for you. I want you to have a cameo in the new Spy Kids movie.
Well, the new one ended up being great. So my little kids love it. They actually love it more than the other three. I'm like, thanks, guys. But it's so sweet because they understand that the other ones were mommies. So they're like, mommy, we want to watch a new Spy Kids, but it's the one that you're not in. Are you okay with that?
They're trying to break it to you.
Yes, are you, like, of course. It's not going to hurt my feelings if you watch the movie. And they're like, oh, okay, good. And then, you know, they're like playing it 10 times in a row. But I love that it was such a special project that it's really withstood the test of time. And mm-hmm. the fact that they're making more still based off of the idea that we did, like, what is it now? 25 years ago or something insane. Like,
holy cow.
It's really cool. It was such a special thing. And I don't know. It's kind of like E.T. in that sense. I mean, E.T. is so iconic, mm-hmm. but like just kind of lives on, which is cool.
Spike is iconic. I remember going to the movie theater and getting my 3D glasses.
Well, because it was the first time they brought 3D back. Kids was. Yeah, so 3D hadn't been in theaters since like the 80s. Really? And Robert was like, I want to bring this back. I really do. And he's like, and I don't want to do it in the new way. I want to do like the old school red and blue glasses. And like, so he brought 3D back with Spy Kids.
How cool. And now it's big. Every and now movie it's has
everything. Everything is 3D. Although it just makes me so nauseous. I'd rather watch it in 2D.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, I even got the DVD.
We, did you? I think when it was like comes a birthday. With like four.
Yes.
Like...
And we got the 3D glasses with the DVD. And so as a kid, we put on our 3D glasses and watch it at home.
Meanwhile, my kids now are like, what are these things? I'm like, you don't know what a DVD is. Oh my gosh. Like, this is... We've reached a new era.
Something that you mentioned that I thought was kind of interesting was how you maybe envisioned or like thought that one day your kids would be in the movie like Spy Kids yes. or things like that. And I guess that just like brings up a conversation like since you were raised as a child actor, mm-hmm. like how you would parent a child that was interested in child acting or yeah. what your perspective on that is.
So I know a lot of people who grew up in the industry would be like, I would never let my kids do this. I had a really different experience. I was very, I would say, sheltered in a good way. Obviously, there were things that I also wish, you know, we could have maybe done differently. But that kind of started happening as I got into my, like, teen years. As far as, like, being a child actor, I had the best time ever. I mean, I was literally playing dress up every single day, doing something that I loved, something that was so unique and fun. And while, yeah, I didn't have a normal childhood, I didn't know any other way, and I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. Like, I look back and I think of all the stuff that I, you know, missed out on, and I don't really feel like I missed out on anything. I think I was right where I was supposed to be. So for my kids, even right now, like, our biggest thing is making sure that they have community, because we don't mm-hmm. want to take them away from other kids. And I think that was probably the hardest, which is why Spy Kids was so fun, was because I wasn't just on set with adults all day long. Up until Spy Kids, I was always on set with just adults. So I could handle conversations with adults really well, but conversations with other kids, they were really hard for me because I just had different stuff in common. Even though I was mm-hmm. a kid, I grew up talking to adults 24/7.
Yeah.
And now I have to like try to get along with kids who are like picking their nose and like throwing rocks.
You're like, that is so immature. Knock it off.
and I was just kind of awkward around them because I didn't really know how to act. So I'm trying to find a little more balance with my kids. Even though we travel a lot, even though, you know, they're around adults a lot, we try to also find like, okay, we're going to be in this place. What's a good spot for them to be around other kids? So we're even a part of this like gym that has like a really good kids program mm-hmm. and they're all over the country. So whenever we're traveling somewhere, we get to bring everybody and the kids get to go into kids club and they're still in it without having, they still get to be a part of it and they still do have their friends that they, you know, get to FaceTime and see. But so they're not completely out of it. But yeah, I guess just trying to integrate community into their lives.
Are there any untold stories with filming Spy Kids that you, I don't know, you've never shared before? I feel like there must be some like funny things that must have happened on set or...
Oh my gosh. Well, Spy Kids, for the second one, there were so many kids on set. Also, cannot wait for your update. there were so many kids on Spy Kids 2 set that was the best filming experience I have ever had. Ever. Because I'm 13 years old and it's like right when you're crushing on guys, you know, and Matt O'Leary played Gary Giggles and every single kid that's on set has a stunt double. So I have a stunt double, Matt has his stunt double, and they're all kids, stunt kids.
That's so okay? cool.
So it was like,
that's what you should have been.
It's the coolest thing ever. So the Dashnaw boys, so Jeff Dashnaw was our main stunt coordinator on Spy Kids, and he had his sons JJ, Nick, Jake, and Chad. So all of their kids were stunt kids. We had Emily Osment back in the day, Matt O'Leary, obviously Daryl, and then we also had our stand-ins who were also kids. So it was like one big fun play set. Now I had the biggest crush on this guy Nick, who was Matt O'Leary's stunt double, Gary Giggle's stunt double. And he ended up being my first kiss. But it caused all sorts of drama on set because what happens if they don't get along? So, like, the parents are all worried if, like, one, I'm not supposed to be dating. I'm not allowed to have a boyfriend. But we're, like, secretly dating. And we had, like, this secret breakdancing room in the back of set that we, like, broke into. And nobody knew that we had access to this room. So, like, all, like, 15 of us kids would pour into this room. We put down, like, really, what is it? Like, cardboard. And we'd all, like, blast music and breakdance in there. But then nobody could find us, and nobody would be able to shoot anything because they're like, where are these kids at? And we're just hiding in this like random room in this like airport hangar that we had found.
Oh my gosh.
Just like fun. It was like summer camp. It was just like all these fun experiences. But I ended up dating Nick on and off for many years after that movie. He ended up recently passing away, but he was a good friend of mine, and his family is truly still like my family.
She had a tattoo. That's what
I actually did have a Nick tattoo on my wrist.
Really? Yes. That's how serious it was.
Yeah. No, it was very, very serious. But we ended up just being friends and really good friends. But that family is so special and will always be so special. Like, my sister even dated one of his brothers for many years. Like,
they actually helped us get our crash pads for one of our tours.
Oh yeah, they did. Yeah. I totally forgot.
We could not source them anywhere, and they were like, "Well, I think my buddy's selling some." We're like, "I mean, these are like thick, nice crash pads. Like, yeah,
so good." And now the stunt coordinator for all of Robert's new films happens to be JJ, which is Jeff's son, his oldest son.
That is cool.
So yeah, they really do keep it all in the family. It's very special.
What happened? Was it cancer? Was it a tragic accident?
He unfortunately had some addiction problems. So that ended up happening, and it was really, really tragic. But the family is so special. Yeah. Like, yeah, such a beautiful, tight-knit family. And they will forever be my family. And it's so cool because within the industry, they are just known as like the coolest people you'll ever meet. Like, these people have no fear whatsoever. They're just so cool.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Hey, real quick, I'll keep this really brief. Just give me 30 seconds of your time. Thank you guys for being here. Like, it truly means so much that you're here. We actually flew all the way to Nashville, Tennessee to do this interview. And it's all because of you guys. You guys have been watching this show. You guys have been subscribing, interacting, leaving comments, and it means the world to us. I just have one ask from you guys, and that is, if you would please hit the subscribe button, it would mean the world to us. I promise that I'm going to do everything I can to keep making the show the best it can be. We're going to bring on the guests that you guys want. We're going to talk about the topics that you guys want, and give us feedback down below. Let us know who you guys want us to bring on the show. Let us know topics you want us to cover, because we're doing this for you. It's been a lot of fun. I can't believe that this is something we get to do. We get to interview some amazing guests. And so your support means the world to us. Thank you so much. If you subscribed, that means the world to us. Now back to the episode.
Officer Jacob, he wanted to speak to me. So we have the captain's contact info.
Great.
We have their insurance.
Okay, great.
They did deny hitting the boat.
Oh my God.
And the officer's like, but there's no denying that they hit your boat. Like, we're looking at it.
Did you say that you have a ton of video?
They have video. We have video. They have the video from the marina. The vessel is still on its way to Miami at 3 knots because it's
a big old boat, yeah.
They're going to cite the captain, and he is 100% responsible. They're writing up a report that we have to basically finish filling out and send in 10 days, send to our insurance. And he's like, this sucks. And it's not confirmed, but they could have potentially been intoxicated.
Intoxicated, yeah.
That would make sense because they literally hit the boat twice.
Three times.
Oh, sorry.
Three times, and then dragged.
Three times.
Just a small $100,000
paint job. See, I would be completely sober doing that, but
honestly,
if it's a captain, then maybe we have to think.
I'm just like, oh, man.
It's all right. You know what? There's going to be a silver lining, and there's no structural damage, which is amazing. It's all cosmetic. So whoever buys this boat, I hope that we can do something where it's like, look, it's going to get painted with a $120,000 paint job. If you buy the boat, you can make it any color you want. Like,
ooh, you want it purple, cool. You know? It's going to be a purple boat.
Wait, that's kind of special.
I mean, if I was buying a boat and I had some, like, you know, fiberglass damage or whatever, and it was just all, you know, cosmetic, and they were like, hey, buy the boat, and then we're literally going to send it, and you can pick the color, I'd be like, yo, that's a score.
Yeah. You heard it right here, ladies and gentlemen. You can buy their boat. If you're in the market for a boat, they'll paint it whatever color you want.
We won't, but some
marina will.
Some whatever. We'll...
Professionals.
What a crazy, wow. day.
I feel like there's so much you guys could talk about because even it's a just problem. Like...
Wait, I'm curious, how old are you guys?
How old do you think we are?
Well, yeah, I don't know. You guys look very young.
You're not going to offend us.
I would think you're like 23 or 24, personally.
25.
Yeah, we're both 25.
No way.
So right there. Oh, I got 10 years on him.
Dude, I've seen so many of y'all's videos.
No way.
Yeah, because like I didn't really... Alexa set this up and I was like, who?
Because we were going back and forth on Instagram.
Yes.
And I'm like, who? Like maybe 2 days ago, I was like, who are we going to see? Like who is this podcast with? And I was like, oh, I know them. I was like, I've seen their videos.
No way.
Very shocking to me.
Yeah, so much. Shocking?
Yeah.
Why?
That's crazy.
Girl, watching you guys.
Oh, yes, my gosh.
We've watched you guys, and then you're like, oh, I've watched your videos. It's like,
and then I walk into the house, and Gabe is here, and I'm like, I've seen his videos.
That's crazy.
I don't know who that is.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys are, I already can say this right now, you're going to be great friends.
Oh.
Really? Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yes. We'll take community. All the community.
There you go.
All the community. And that was his wife that I met, right?
Yeah, Jess.
Okay, because she's awesome.
Oh, like, incredible.
I hit it off with her.
From Australia.
Yeah.
The best people. I'm thinking of the other people.
Them too. The Tori.
Yes.
Okay.
Tori and Chad.
Sorry,
yes.
We're learning. We're meeting. We met a lot of new people.
We're in Tori's house.
It's kind of a party when you guys came over.
All of you will be amazing friends.
Okay,
because I know nothing about you guys. Are you born and raised in Phoenix? Is that like
no? Missouri. I'm from St. Louis. So it's funny you guys loving
Missouri,
Nashville,
baby. Let's go.
I'm from Missouri.
That's
so
crazy.
So that's why when you guys were like, yeah, Nashville's awesome. Like I'm starting to like Nashville more because I come here almost every month to like record music. But it's just crazy because
it feels like home for us.
It feels like St. Louis.
So when are you guys moving here?
Has God called you to move?
We
yet?
Can't do that.
No.
We moved our entire family.
Our
to
whole
Phoenix.
Family's like moved out to Phoenix.
You have family over there.
Yeah.
My parents live with us.
But I'm here.
Built-in babysitters. Sounds like a dream.
Yeah.
It's great. Honestly, it's like it's working.
You can
really
get
well.
Up and leave at night. Like
we took off to Nashville.
That's beautiful.
That's really cool.
And then you do music out here.
Yeah, so I've just been like, it's been a childhood dream. And so I just kind of started releasing stuff. And I'm just kind of throwing stuff out there and seeing what
works. Dude, that's how
works.
It should be,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
Dude, that's share. What Please people. Share with me. I would love.
It's
I would
been
love
scary, to. Though, because it's like, usually when you start something new, you don't have people who are like watching your every move. But because of...
He already has a platform.
Because of our platform, people are seeing every mistake I make and every like every good song and bad song that I make. So it's like it's kind
of
nerve wracking. But I love music
dude,
so much. It's
I
just
wish
like,
that's I wish that's what Big Time Rush did. I always say like let's just put a song out every month. It doesn't have to have this big plan behind it and all this money. Like we have so many songs that we've written that it's like let's just put it out
and they're just chilling. They're not out.
Do we have songs?
Release
from, like,
them, dude. Release
they
them.
Have we like have 60 songs.
But hold on. Here's
I listen
here's,
to all the time.
Here's what's hard. There's so much red tape in the music industry.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That like, you know, people want to make money, and I get it. Like that's a living, and especially like if you have a successful brand like Big Time Rush, they're just like they just you know equate it to well if you put my you know like you should pay me for my music, which I totally get, but it's like yeah, we're not trying to like the goal. There's an overarching goal. So, like, if I were to put music out right now, I'd probably do it with somebody who had the same mentality. Like, hey, listen, let's make money on the backside. Let's not worry about every nitty gritty right now. Let's just make some cool songs and just keep putting them out. One a month, or two. Like, who cares? And not with the intention of, like, it has to get to radio. It has to hit Spotify, whatever. Just, like, let's just put music out. Like, why not? Yeah. So, the fact that you're doing that, props to you.
You're doing
the right thing.
Thanks.
That's
awesome. It's been a fun project. I'm currently independent, so I don't work
Stay
with a manager.
Bro.
I do
Stay
it all
independent.
Okay.
If you can.
Yeah.
Are you guys independent? Are you guys with a label? Does that work?
You're kind of independent.
We did a deal with BMG to do our last album. But we're basically independent. I mean, we do whatever we want. It's crazy.
It's really awesome.
That's awesome.
For a brand like this, I mean, I always laugh. Most people want to go on tour and sell tickets. We have no problem selling tickets. Like we can go on these massive tours. Like last summer we did 300,000 tickets. Like it was amazing.
Holy cow, dude.
It was sick.
That's a lot.
But we have no radio play.
They can't get on the radio.
Why?
Because
radios don't play them.
Yeah.
Can you pay? You can pay to get on the radio, right?
It's a payola thing, but like what? You're going to drop $250,000 just to get into the top 30? Like
are you guys pushing TikTok? Are you guys making TikToks of your songs?
Yes and no. I mean, our whole thing is
they're
just
old. So,
it's funny.
They still
like,
have to learn how TikTok works.
Boyfriend, someone did this remix of Boyfriend, and I was like, like a super high pitch one, and it actually gave us a nice little resurgence of that song. So I think, look, I love social media. I think it's great. That's why we're kind of diving in and trying to, you know, use that more. But for us, like, we just love performing, and yeah, you know, our fans show up and they buy tickets. So as long as we keep putting out music and you know, cool content, and I think doing a movie will really help, because people,
that's cool,
like, it's so nostalgic, for, you know, because like most people grew up with Big Time Rush. Like our kid, our kids, but our,
oh
our,
my gosh,
our oldest
Ocean
is obsessed. Like the biggest Big Time Rush fan you could
he
ever.
He got into Big Time Rush like 6 months ago, and we thought like, oh, you know, he'll, it's like cute. It. Like we played an episode, and he was like, oh, this is funny. But now he's so obsessed with it, yeah, that he's like trying to dress like the boys.
Yeah.
I was at the and mall the other day. Yeah. Oh, I gotta tell this real fast. I'm at the mall, and Carlos is in like Crate and Barrel trying to figure out like furniture and stuff. And there were these like 10-year-olds, like 4 10-year-olds that like the mom dropped them off, and they're like, all these girls just like sitting at this little couch area, and I needed a break. So I sat down with the kids next to them on the couch, and Ocean sees these girls. So he gets up and he walks over to like this like little kind of glass window, and he pops his collar and he just like
leans
does
on the
this.
Side.
And I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. And he goes, Mom, I learned it from Big Time Rush. And then I'm like, oh my yeah. gosh, he's trying to be cool for them. And I said, baby, and he's only 7. I'm like, baby, are you trying to be cool right now? And he's like, I'm not trying. Like in his head, he's like, I am cool right now. What do you mean trying to be cool?
So
I'm not trying. And he just sat there and like one leg was crossed over the other, and he just like popped his little collar. And I'm cute. Laughing because I'm like, oh, honey, that's not how it really works in real life. But in his head, it works on the show.
It's,
so
it's,
this is
it's,
how it
it's
works
what he's
in
seen
real
in the
life.
Show. And he's starstruck, with, not with me, but with everybody else. Like James lives in Nashville as well. And he came over and he was like, hi, James. Do the face, James. Do the face. I was like, oh my gosh. Like I was like, James, just so you know, my kid, like, we are like idols to him now. You know, like the you know, big manager Gustavo, Steven Glickman, I FaceTimed him one time, said, Ocean, come here. Look at it.
Gustavo Rock.
He wouldn't even talk. It's Gustavo Rock. And he like walked off camera, and I'm like, it's okay. And he's like, I don't want to talk to him. I'm like, dude, it's okay.
Dude, it's so yeah, funny.
It's beautiful.
I love that for you guys.
It's yeah. cool.
You guys are so cool.
It's so fun. Well, listen, it's just so fun.
You guys have to, once we get our podcast up and running, you'll have to come and
oh,
or we'll come
honor.
To you or do it online.
And then you guys
can
even stay at the house.
Dude,
because we'll have furniture.
That'd be awesome.
You know what? Next time you come to a session, we'll just kind of plan it out. You can come stay,
yes.
stay with us for a few days, do the podcast, you can chill, and yeah.
You guys are awesome. Like, literally great. So cool. You do it all. You have a family. You both have your own very successful careers. Like,
we try.
And like, healthy marriage.
We have
like,
some really cool stuff that I can't share here, but I'll share after we get off camera. It's
we're really
cool.
It's really inspiring because like you guys are proof that you can have it all. Like, you can be a family man.
You
can
really
be
can.
You can have
it's not
you know,
easy.
All these values and hold true to them yeah. and still do the entertainment industry, because everybody yeah. would think that
you
can't.
You think it's so toxic and like yeah. you can't have a family,
well,
can't have.
It is. It is. But you have to kind of put a bubble around yourself and just yeah. say, what are my priorities and what, like, what
boundaries.
Do we put first? Like, we
boundaries.
Put our family first. If like, you know, they've thrown, she had an opportunity to do a TV show and they were going to give her like 70 or 80 grand a week to freaking do this TV show. And at the time, we needed the money so badly.
Holy
cow. And we were like, yo, this is insane. But it would have meant moving the family to Georgia and
moved to Hawaii
and living in a little apartment and all this stuff. And it was like, where is our family going to thrive? Living in an apartment in Georgia while you work all day, or staying here in Hawaii?
Mm.
And we chose that over the money. And I believe that God honored that. And, mm-hmm. you know, that was hard.
I'm sure there's so many decisions along the way where you had to remind yourself of like what is the most important to you, and it's not like a one time thing. It's a constant thing that you're evaluating together.
It's constant, but it's never been difficult. Really? That I will say. Well, because nothing feels better than the peace God gives you,
mm-hmm.
and that is like I have learned that through and through. And no matter what comes our way, you know immediately if it feels right or wrong. And the money is just like, I kind of laugh now because I'm just like, I don't care what number you throw at me. It literally means nothing, because this is going to take me out of where I'm supposed to be. And I know it.
You're so, so right. I was telling Abby the other day, I was like, someone can come up to me and say, hey, I'm going to pay you I've a crazy number, like $10 billion to go live for 10 years in another country and like not see your wife and kids for 10 years. Right. I wouldn't do like, it's, no. You can't put a price on family.
You
like,
can't.
Your family is so important. And so just, I don't know. Don't you can't, yeah, you can't put a value on
you
that.
You cannot at all. And it's just, it's so wild to me because I'm like, in short, from like an outsider's perspective, it's like, oh my gosh, you're crazy. It's just a small sacrifice or whatever. And it's like, no, you don't understand. It's not a small sacrifice because you're walking out of your path. Like you are walking out of where you are called to be, where you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to be nurturing and like rooting into. And you know when like God is calling you to something or when he's calling you out of something. Yeah. And I also think that's why when we finally made the decision for this move specifically, and honestly, any move, like when we made the decision to move to Hawaii, it was such a big shift that our whole team was like, you can't leave LA. Like LA is where you need to be. You need to be here for auditions, for meetings, for anything to do with like film, TV stuff. Like if you leave here, your careers are over. And we knew that wasn't going to be the case. Like even though that's not what everybody was telling us, we knew in our hearts we were going to be covered by making this move because it's where we were being called to. And we really needed to get out of California in that season badly.
Yeah, I mean, we just chase God's direction versus the money, which I think is like most people just chase the money all their life. It's like money. And I was there. I used to be a super materialistic person, like big house, big this, big that. And if she taught me anything, because she started over 3 times, make money down to zero, make money down to zero, make money down to zero. Once with me and 2 on her own. And after those experiences, we just went like, we're chasing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know? And I just think like if people in this world stop chasing money, because like, again, it's that thing like, oh, like money doesn't, like money brings happiness, whatever it is. It's like, no, dude, like.
Well, I think to an extent, it can help.
Well, if you're paycheck to paycheck and you're broke and you can't put food on the table, I think money in that circumstance does bring happiness because you're getting like your basic life needs met. But you know, for a lot of people, I mean, I think I've read articles, but it's like any amount over like $100,000 or something doesn't bring more happiness,
right?
Because you already have all your needs
you
met.
Already have
you have time to take off work and spend time with your family. So I think in that sense, it's like we need to really rethink. Like why are so many people always chasing more?
Right.
Right. Well, we've been programmed.
Yeah.
Like oh dude, I like literally we're programmed for the upgrade. Everything is an upgrade. You get the new iPhone and then you're like, "Yes, I got it." And then you see a commercial, it's like iPhone 27 coming out. And you're like, "Freak, I just saved up for this." And then now you want that and it's like, "Dude, we are literally programmed for an upgrade in every aspect of our life."
But I do think there is something to it. Oh, so 2 thoughts. One, I do think money can't buy happiness. I actually disagree when people are like, money can't buy happiness. I think it can. I just don't think it solves your problems. And I think it's a temporary happiness. It's not a fulfillment. You can be in like this horrible place in your life and suddenly get a ton of money. And I think for that first week or two, that money can absolutely buy your happiness, but it's not long term and it's not a fulfillment that will last at all.
Yep.
But I think money is a tool, and we talk about this all the time. Money is not this end-all, be-all thing. It's a great tool that can get you the things that you either want in life or to help you achieve goals or to help your children, whatever it may be. But you have to look at money as a tool, not as like, oh my gosh, I like need this money.
And storing it up. And like obviously be wise steward. But every time that we are in a comfortable place in our life or we have like really good savings and things are good, God always comes in and he's like, who are you relying on? On me? Or are you relying on that?
The comfort of the comfort the finances. Of that,
you know, finance in the bank. And every time we're like, freak, a shift happens, you know, and whether it's moving to Tennessee and buying a house and now basically, you know, you put your savings into that house and you buy the house and now, you know, you're not as comfortable as you know, you're still making a living, but it's not like, you know, you have all this money in the bank where you can just do nothing. You know, now you got to like, you know, continue. And every single, it's happened 3 times now. Every single time when that shift goes from him to like money or something else, he's like, no. I need you to rely on me every time.
One last thing, last question I want to end on. You guys combined your names.
Yeah.
When you got married, which is...
I've never heard of anybody else doing that.
You didn't do that either?
No, I've never heard someone doing that.
Howard Biswell would not.
Howard Biswell would not work. That doesn't sound cool. Yours sounds really cool.
Howard, no.
Pennavega sounds
really cool.
What would you do with that?
What, Howard Biswell?
Yeah.
How biz? How? Biz Howard.
Sit on it. Let us
I'll
know.
I'll sit on it.
Pennavega works great.
It does. Pennavega works.
Biswell.
Yeah, Biswell. Hey.
His well.
No, we went to the place, the courthouse, and we signed out this paper, and they're like,
we had talked about it beforehand.
We did, but there's a legal way to change the name. I didn't know this. So you went in, we just put on our marriage certificate. He goes, who's taking whose last name? And I was like, okay, we'll figure it out. So I put Pennavega as one word, because Vega Penna sounded dumb. So
Vega Penna.
So Pennavega.
It's not
and,
great.
And I slid it under the paper, and he looks at it and he goes, That's a cool name. Stamped. Boom. And once you have the marriage cert,
you can change anything and everything.
So then we did our licenses. Then after that, we did our passports. And after you have all that, we did our social security. And then we just became the Pennavegas. And I don't know if that was the legal way to do it, but we did.
That's what we did.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It was good for you guys.
And it worked because, like,
we were already both established in the industry that, look, we could have fully just gone, like, Penna and called it a day, but I don't know, it just felt really, we both come from, God bless them and we love them, but like our family isn't kooky, so we both come from kooky
families. Well,
clearly
they live with their parents, so it's not that kooky.
No, they're kooky.
Everybody's kooky. They're kooky. But we just felt like we really wanted a fresh start. We wanted to start over. Like, so what does starting at zero look like? And that was Pennavega.
Pennavega.
Like creating our own new family.
And using it in our industry too as our professional name. Like most people get married and they're like, well, I'm still going to stay XX. We were like, no, we're going to be Pennavega. So all our new contracts were all done. Pennavega, Pennavega, Pennavega.
It's
Pennavega.
So
and the first really time cool. seeing it was really cool.
On spare parts,
too.
Yeah, spare the parts. Poster. Yeah. That was awesome.
I think a lot of people that listen to this are probably also come from difficult family situations as well. And they can find like hope in that. And like, hey, we can be the start of something new for our family and for generations to come.
This absolutely.
Can carry on,
we love our families.
And you could still honor your family
and
all of that.
Of course.
Like,
of course.
You know, you can
we
still
love them,
honor
we honor
them.
But sometimes you just, you know. I wouldn't live with them.
You? What are you talking about? You live with my father.
Oh yes, you're right. He's very helpful. He's very accommodating.
Real quick. So I have a really interesting relationship with my father. So he is my birth father, but I didn't really get to know him until I turned 23 years old.
No
and
way.
Around then was when I met Carlos. So we started getting to know my real dad at the same time, and they clicked. They hit it off really well. So even though he's my dad, he doesn't feel like my dad because he didn't raise me.
He also doesn't look like your dad. He looks more like my dad.
Yeah, he's very Colombian. So like this old Colombian
and dark.
Man with
so everyone's like, is this your dad? I'm like, no, that's
it's actually her dad. Yeah, that's mine. So they hit it off really, really well.
He lived in Hawaii with us for a while.
Yeah, he lived. Yeah.
And then but, on the boat.
You know, he's had just some interesting. His life story is really crazy, and that's a whole other podcast. But he's just lived quite a life, and now he's kind of in the place where, you know, there have been a couple times where he hasn't really had a place to live. So he's come to stay with us a few times. And yeah, one time was in Hawaii,
listen,
and then on
the
boat.
He pulls his weight. Like
he's
this
awesome.
Guy, while you
he's
know,
very helpful with
while
Carlos.
We're gone and our water heater broke on the boat. He was like, okay, boom, here's the model, here's this, here's that, buy it, send it, I'll install it. So I shipped a new one there.
Well, he's also like a genius engineer.
Yeah, he's 76.
Very smart.
He rigged this thing. He lowered it down with his pulley system, got it in, installed it. Hot water heater done. So like, yeah, dude, he pulls his weight, and. I deal with a lot of rejection. So for me, having a father figure around who actually like I could like have that with and like build things with, and he teaches me a lot of stuff. And we fight too about things.
It's really funny.
He always thinks he's right, just like you know, like daughter, like father. But
what did I do?
It's amazing. Anyways, yes, I agree. Parents are great.
Well, you guys, this has been so great. Where can people follow you on social media, or where can they find your stuff?
We do a lot on Instagram. So I'm at the real Carlos Penna, and you are.
I'm at Vega Alexa, but we share a TikTok.
Yeah,
hey,
Lex.
Penna Vega.
Penna Vega, yes. And then we have a YouTube channel called Lex Loves Los.
Nope.
No, nope. It's not. I lied. It's called La Vida Pena Vega. La Vida Pena Vega.
It used to be Lex called Loves Love.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And then, yeah, we have, hopefully in the next 3 to 6 months, a new podcast coming out.
Wow.
Called Lex Loves Lows.
That was
sorry, my, nice. My brain.
And your production company.
And then we have our production company, Good For You Entertainment. We get some. We have a lot of stuff happening with that.
Tour.
Wait, hold on. Movies. We have three books.
Yes.
We wrote three books, and then we have books. Another that that I think is supposed to come out next year.
Another book?
Yeah.
We wrote another book?
No, we haven't written it yet.
Oh, okay, cool.
So you have the third book's coming out.
Fourth.
We already have three. Now we'll have a fourth.
Yeah, so we did, what do they call it? The first one? Was not an autobiography? No, it was...
A memoir?
Memoir. Memoir. Okay,
thank you.
Very cool.
I saw that, yeah.
Yes. Memoir. Then we did a children's book called Ocean's World, which that's is currently sweet. Being Cute. Developed into a TV show. And
that's dope.
And then number three, we did a 100-day devotional, which that was our big baby that we loved.
Really cool.
Yeah, we were really excited about that one.
And then, yeah.
We wrote the first one just to get to that one.
Yeah. That's so neat, you guys.
So
cool.
I love it.
That's it.
That's and us. Who knows what could happen next year?
Yeah, well,
I know. Well, we can't wait to tell you guys.
Yeah.
So. We have to cut
this. Let's cut this off.
We're gonna end the podcast here so we can learn about their secret project.
All right, love you guys.
Thank you
for watching.
Bye.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting and rules for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stopped. Opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.